Run your fingers through my hair. 8. Touch me. Slowly. Slowly. 7. Hold it. Let's go straight to number 1. Through my hair. Touch me. Let's go straight to number 1.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
hell.
Test 1, 2.
Does Evan go with that?
It's gonna be a fun night. I can tell
my mic was dead. You were hearing me in the studio, not
Mine's
on the air.
Mine's dead too. I'm sure I can't hear me.
You need to turn up your headphones now.
Here I go. Yeah. Volume. I thought I was old and deaf.
Well, you are.
You are, Blanche. You are.
I am old. I am not deaf.
It's the one sitting to your left.
To my right.
Right.
Oh, his left.
You're to his to her
his
left.
Left.
Your left. Oh. Her right. Straight across.
The one in the middle.
Jimmy, the sandwich.
There's nothing straight across.
The old
Jimmy.
One. Okay. Let's,
hello, Houston, Galveston, Huntsville, Livingston, wherever the hell else you're listening to us.
Oh.
This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. My name is Chris Arizin. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the oldest and longest running co-executive producer of this show.
Thank goodness he put the running part in there, because we were going to have to challenge him if he said the longest.
Hey. I'm longer than you.
Oh, goodness.
Judy's longer than me.
Ah! Okay, not touching.
I'm not going there. No. But I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the one in dire pain tonight.
Oh.
I tried to fix that.
I know you did, and I'm still in dire pain.
Well, put on some of that BioFreeze.
BioFreeze?
I'll have to work on that later.
Oh,
maybe during
God.
The hatch hour.
Happy Labor Day weekend.
Ta-da, 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 ta-da.
What's so happy about it?
For those of you who are still here and not over in Alden's.
Oh.
Hey, Southern Decadence this year is planning on getting 20 inches. Get some of yours. They were predicting 20 inches there.
I know.
They did that 2 years ago, too. They had the same flooding on this
about
particular
five
weekend.
Times.
That was six years ago.
6 years ago?
It was
okay,
Katrina.
I thought it was two. No, a different one. Two years ago, yeah.
So apparently they're right. They're God hates Southern Decadence. Probably because he didn't get a hotel room.
Yeah, well.
You have to reserve early.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, if you actually want to get a little taste of Southern Decadence, go over to the Facebook page of After Hours, facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT. Yeah. There is a video of the Southern Decadence parade from this year.
Oh, my.
Wow.
I didn't realize they had a parade.
I didn't either. And I've never been to Southern Decadence.
I hadn't either, so.
I was planning on being there when Katrina hit, because it was,
I remember that.
They were doing Convergence at the same time. And so I was going to get a chance to see that, and it's like, okay, what? I was trying to think, was there anything for the music, for the video of the week? And it's like, so I typed in Southern Decadence, and there was a video up there of some parade, I guess, they had last night.
Wow.
So
cool.
I figured put that up there. You can see. I mean, if Mardi Gras, you show off your tits there to get beads, I wonder what you show at Southern Decadence.
Any new
digits? Probably the same thing that they show at our parade.
It was a YouTube video, so I'm a,
I didn't really
see much.
So it was all clean?
Yeah.
Boring. Stay tuned for the XTube version.
Yes. That's what I'm looking for.
But so take a look up there on what's going on at in New Orleans right now.
And let's see. On September 6th, I know it's this is the 3rd, but the 6th would be Tuesday. Mm-hmm. On September 6th, 1987, a guy named Buddy Johnston walked into this radio station and did the very first after-hour show. We're 24 years old this week.
Oh, God.
24 years old. My God.
And you've been here for 23 and a half of them.
Yep.
I was going to say, and you can't keep up with how long we've known each other?
I know. It's weird. It's just weird.
He should be ashamed of himself.
We are older than about half the people that are sitting in the lobby.
Actually, we're older than the combined ages of some of those people.
Oh, ouch. They're not that bad.
No.
No, we are.
Actually, we're not.
Bad.
Actually, this, if it wasn't for Vincent, we would have a bunch of older people here.
Oh, well, but, I was referring to the first segment. The Hatch Kids.
The Hatch Kids, yeah.
That whole group is probably younger than
None of them were born.
Yeah.
None of them.
They can't be.
No, because they...
Do you know I was broken
hearted? You age out at 20. What?
To find out that I'm older than Elvin.
Oh.
There's just something not right about that.
Alvin Moriarty, the president of Theater Suburbia.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, the show started from at 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Sunday morning.
Them was the days.
And it was really for gay men who had been to the bars and came home alone. And Buddy's message to them and to anyone who would listen was, come out, come out, come out. Wherever you are, come out. And lots of Harvey Milk. Mm-hmm. Lots of Harvey Milk. Well, over the years, people did come out. So we kind of had to evolve the show and change things up a bit. And here we are at Don't Ask, Don't Tell and same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Who knew?
But they're still out there listening. Who have not come out.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they're all in prison or Republican.
No. Or they're teenagers. They are still listening.
Most of your boys
in the closet, yeah. In those small little Texas towns all around Houston.
Did you cut her mic off?
It is amazing. It is amazing because just last year, earlier this year.
Yeah, earlier than March.
Earlier this March year, Christmas. I attended a wedding.
A heterosexual wedding.
Yeah, your nephew's wedding.
Yes.
And the bride's sister came up to me in a crowd of people that I just met. I
mean, on the balcony from behind. Yeah,
yeah, like, and said, Jimmy Carper, you saved my life. Because she was listened to this show when she was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. And she was at the wedding with her girlfriend.
With her girlfriend. They now are happily together and living in Portland, like so many lesbians do.
Smart ones.
Yeah. And, you know, what do you say to something like that?
Well, we've had that told us to us several times, and that's it.
But this was in Galveston, and she lives in Portland now, and it's like, it's global.
Well, Chris and I had it at over at the Pride Parade one year.
That's right.
And now we've got a greater outreach of hitting Huntsville and now Livingston.
And it's all good. It's all good.
And that's what we're here for.
Because we're hitting more people.
Yeah.
More people who need to hear us.
And of course, we're on the internet also, so I know there's people in Austin that listen to us.
You know, and we don't do anything really special.
Yes, we do. We show up every week.
We just give you 4 hours of queer life. What it's like to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered.
And it's not queer light.
No.
This is...
No.
Queer heavy duty.
Yeah, this is not the sanitized for your protection version you will see on Logo.
No. Like this I say in the beginning of the thing, we are that. All out of the closet.
We're all young, old.
Yeah, yeah, we're all old.
Well, we got the young ones out there tonight.
Yeah, they just show up once a month.
So, we got the leather. We got the strange. We got the bisexuals and the trannies and everything else. We got everything from A to Z.
We do. We do, because that's part of our community.
And that's what we're here for, and we come to you free of charge. We're cheap and easy. And
I don't know about
you. Wait a minute, I'm easy and cheap. There's a big difference.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not cheap.
I'll clarify.
Okay.
Yeah, you are.
But no, but that's what we come here, and that's, you know, on community radio, and we can give you that slice that you don't get to hear elsewhere. And that's what we love to do, is to, you know, some of us slept from a lot further out than others to come here and do the show, and that's what we like to hear, is that the people are out there listening, and we help somebody, whether it's just, you know, feel a little better about themselves or feel a lot better of themselves, and that's our paycheck for what we do here on After Hours.
It is. So you get the real thing. And you get it here, and you also get it every Monday night from 9 to 11 on Queer Voices.
Yeah, is Lavinka back yet?
I think he's still over in Europe.
Everybody's in Europe right now. What's the big difference?
Well, he's been trekking all over Europe.
He was going over to the Prague Pride.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Wow.
That's what I saw. Wow. Seeing stuff on Facebook.
He's been posting a lot of pictures from everywhere he's been.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I've never
he,
I
he has been
this. In a month.
He has been everywhere.
So, yeah, because he had his first posting thing was like, you know, his itinerary of, you know, Houston to New York to...
I was just, you know, like
kind of neat.
Different
people know
city
which
every
night
day.
To go rob his apartment.
No, actually, he's been spending like two, three days in each city and then moving on. I know there was one point he took a train ride from somewhere down to Italy, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I've always said. If I ever won the lottery, I want to go, you know, spend some time in Europe and take one of the, you know, ride on the train.
You've got to take the train in Europe because it's like nothing you've ever. That's the way people travel.
We slept through Europe in, 18 days or something like that. And what we did, we took the train at night and slept. Oh. And we get off the train in the morning, reasonably fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd find the whatever we were staying at, the bed and breakfast or hostel or park bench, whatever. And we'd stow our stuff and go do the day. And then we'd crash at night and we'd ride the train the next night. It was really neat. The trains are great and they're always on time.
Yes.
To the second.
Mm-hmm. Trains that don't crash as often as the American trains.
Well, no, that's kind of true.
When I traveled in Europe, we spent all our train time in the dining car.
Yeah, somehow it doesn't surprise me.
They have better windows.
Yeah. Well, on the day.
I thought you were going to say the last time when you toured through Europe, it was with Charlemagne.
No. It's been a while. I spent the 70s touring Europe. The entire 70s.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, you know, one time each year for 3 weeks.
Works for me.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go again, shall we?
Mmm.
Oh, that's right. That's not.
Ew.
Anyway,
well, that's not the flavor I was. Lime green, anyway.
Anyway,
I thought it was lemon lime. It's melon. So,
surprise!
Ew. So much for your power.
Sour to sweet.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up that we are 24 years old this week,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's a great accomplishment. That next year will be the big one, 25.
Mm.
Ooh.
I'll make you feel better. There's a famous lesbian that had a birthday this week that's older than you.
Oh, really? Who was it?
Lily Tomlin.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know she was
72.
Older. Wow. She is older than me. Wow.
So I may need to dig that CD later on. I'll play a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jimmy's older than dirt. Does that make her older than air?
Makes her older than God.
Yeah, I saw a thing in there. A couple of websites were talking about her birthday.
Wow. Wow, that's nice. Okay. So, how was everybody's week?
Well, I'm the owner of a new residence now.
Yes.
You're not an owner, you're renting.
Well, I'm a renter of a new residence.
Yeah.
It feels like a king.
Really nice place, too.
Yeah.
Big.
Well, for an apartment, yeah.
Yeah. 900 square feet.
A one-bedroom apartment, that is. Yeah. So.
I forgot what size mine is.
One-bedroom den.
Yeah, I got a one-bedroom, one-bath den.
My whole house is only
$965.
Yeah. Really?
And that's a two-bedroom. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
They make them bigger up north.
I've heard that.
Evidently.
My little Heights Cottage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did a lot of schlepping of my belongings.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And he's suffering.
And now you've got the back problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Anyway. I'll make it through.
Okay. Chris?
It was an interesting week. Start off at the Bear As You Dare foam party.
Yes, that was so much fun.
God, that thing put out so much damn foam. It's like you're standing there. When I saw them fire it up, and it's like, okay, there's a little bit on the ground. And the next thing I know, it's flooded and overflooded. It's like,
yeah, it's over your head.
And
what they do, borrow the Houston Area Bears foam?
I know it.
No. What you have is a bubble wand. This thing was three panels. They had to be 2 foot by 2.5 foot, and it was on three sides, and it just spit out.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
It filled.
It was a very large area.
It would fill these two studios in probably 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
It wasn't that little thing that, you know, the bears is like, this came out and it filled the whole thing up.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how wet that stuff actually is. It's like my...
What do you think it is?
Well, the other time when I've been in it, I've... How can I put this without disgusting you? And I don't know. I don't know. I care. I did a bear watch, and since it was clothing optional, I didn't have any clothing to get wet and didn't notice it. I went to this, and my socks
just hang on you.
Yeah, and my shoes were still wet the next day. Yeah. I couldn't wear them to work.
Ooh.
I rang out my shorts that I wore before getting changed to leave. And it was just really, it's like, okay, I got to bring a towel the next time I come to one of these. Cause I never did.
Yeah, you do.
Like that.
You do.
I hate to tell you, that'll get wet too.
Well, over on the side.
Oh, on the side.
It was an interesting venue. I've never been to the Eagle before.
He wants to do this once a month.
Does anybody want to know why you were fully clothed and cleaning shoes in the?
I was not fully clothed. I was just wearing my underwear.
Oh, okay.
You need to wear.
I got the impression.
You need to wear shoes.
And I was wearing.
Yeah, you'll break your neck.
Well, my thing was, you know.
And your foot.
My foot has recently healed. And so I wore I wore that to protect my shoe, protect my foot problems. So, I mean, it was a nice. I mean, the area in it when they pumped that full of the foam, and it was something different than going through, seeing the large venue that it is.
Yeah, it's a great venue.
It's like I can see other events
at the Eagle. Yeah. But he's serious about doing this once a month.
It's an interesting. I think it was a couple of conflicts. It was the conflict with the pennies for pets.
Yeah, of course.
That I think would have helped attendance. But it's a nice venue. Once I figured out where it was, it's like, okay, I'm looking there for the sign. It's like, okay, I don't see a sign. I finally found the side entrance where you go in.
Do you know I parked across the street in the $5 lot and forgot to put $5 in? And the car was still there when I left. I completely forgot.
Sunday afternoon things.
Yeah, I know.
Bitch, I paid $5. But no, I said it was a nice, interesting event. I recognized a couple of people that were there.
Oh yeah.
Once you get in, you get your eyes adjusted. From going that outside to going in the first in, it's so dark.
Oh
it's
my
like,
god! Yes, it's like going to BJ's.
Oops. I mean, I couldn't. Once Phil started talking, I realized there was somebody there.
Yes,
because you're going underground, so your eyes are dilated from the sunlight, and then you get turn the corner in there, and it is pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, sign this waiver. It's like, okay, I got to step out to the light to even see that there's a piece of paper.
I'm still waiting to hear from the fun part.
It was a different kind of experience. It was one of those things that I will say that it was a double thing for me. It was going to that event and being a part of that, and it was in a way a first date.
Okay.
So that made it very extra twisted.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was something different. You know, it was outside my normal comfort zone on that sort of thing.
That's right.
So.
Me too.
Yeah. And then I'm digging through the foam, and then all of a sudden, he was still clothed completely.
I didn't go in the foam.
I cannot imagine going in the foam. I'm so claustrophobic.
Oh, my goodness.
I just cannot even imagine you could. Something
there,
like
at some
that.
Of the points, you, so did feel, you did you feel, you start, would start to feel a little closed in, especially when you kind of back into something that all of a sudden the foam kind of envelops you. But there's still... You know, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, let me try and see if I can break my arm through the foam. And, hey, I'm here.
You got to watch, though, because it will affect your eyes.
Yeah, it burned a little bit because it's soap. And so it just...
Is that what it is?
It's kind of like that. Soap.
Yeah, like a soap and water mixture.
Oh. Who knew?
No more tears kind, but it's...
Well, I was surprised you didn't know it was wet.
I didn't expect it to be that wet that it was going to be.
Because it feels dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It feels dry, and it's not until I was getting ready to leave, and it's like, okay, my shorts felt a little wet, and I took them off, and like I said, I wrung them out, and it was like, oh, my God, this is...
Yeah.
That's even more disgusting to think Chris has to wring his shorts out. Sorry.
Oh, tacky. Anyway.
Well, you too, whoever.
How's
you
the
know?
Rest of your week?
Kind of busy. It was kind of crazy. Then, fortunately, Friday, most of the store was gone, so it was just a couple of us, and we just had a got the work done that we needed to get done, and you know, wasn't that stressed out.
Mm. Well, so I made some headway in emptying boxes. I'm going to be talking about emptying boxes week? For months on this show.
Only months?
I know. God.
What's crazy is he's been talking about it for months. I've moved and almost completely unpacked in 3 days.
Well,
you don't have 100 years worth of records and books.
That's true, too.
And then you changed over from cassettes to records to CDs to...
Yep. Ugh. Yep, it's just overwhelming. And Judy?
I'm here. Oh, nobody ever asked me how my week was before. Oh.
She went fishing around in Jimmy's box and pulled out his eyeballs. Sorry.
Ew.
Oh, my.
No, I'd rather do almost anything except go to the theater tomorrow. I've been to the theater every single night since last time I was here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm exhausted. Built a whole porch. Today we built windows.
When you're with Theater Suburbia, you have to build the sets.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't just boss actors around. You have to build sets and everything. We're looking for crickets and bullfrog noises right now. That's always a treat to look for your sound effects tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think I just heard the sound of crickets when she asked that, made that comment.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yes, I do hear.
I've got a whole bunch of soundtrack CDs at my house that I just unpacked.
I need crickets and bullfrogs.
I'll look through them and see if I got any.
15 or 20 seconds, maybe 30.
I'll look through and see if I got them.
Okay, sounds good. Just outside noises in the country.
But like I said, I just literally, all my CDs were packed for a full year. I've got them all out and in their racks and everything, so
and
I'll look through
there.
It.
I wish my CDs had racks. That would be nice. Most of my girlfriends. No, never mind.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to work that joke
Excuse
in myself. And
me?
Like,
she beat you to it.
Oh, my goodness.
What can I say? There's another girl in the house tonight. I'm just, you know.
Hey, there you go. Anyway. So what's on the calendar?
The calendar. Let's see here. Tater Tuesday is back.
Okay.
It's the first Tuesday of the month. And this is being done by the Boy of Montrose, 2011, Christopher Barr. He brings you the return of Tater Tuesday. This will be a recurring event on the first Tuesday of each month at the BRB, 2400 Brazos.
He's such a sweetie.
Starting from 6:30 until the taters are gone. And they are big taters. And there's lots of stuff
to put on them.
Oh, yeah. Like even, you know, chili or
chopped barbecue?
Barbecue, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a meal. Because I was there for the last one.
Yeah, so was I. No, yeah. I was there for one before that.
And we missed it because we don't get this notice until very late. But the first Saturday of the month is bingo.
Queer bingo.
Yeah. Queer bingo, that's right. Every first Saturday, come to play a round or three of the ever-enjoyable game Bingo at the Houston GLBT Community Center, located in the auditorium of the historic Dow School, 1901 Kane Street. And it's Kane and Silver, I believe it is.
Mm, close enough.
Proceeds go to the John Lawrence and Tyrone Gardner Scholarship Fund. And, of course, the community center's other wonderful programs. And, of course, you know, you can win stuff.
Always win stuff.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Anything Tim's involved with, you always get goodies.
And J.D. Doyle has put out his Queer Music Heritage list and his Out Radio list for the month already. Now, his Queer Music Heritage, which you will hear the first part on the fourth Monday of the month during Queer Voices.
26th.
Yep. This is just part one of my latest transgender music special. And there'll be another 3 hours for October. Wow.
Wow.
6 hours. This time I have interviews with Madston Minax, director of the film Riot Acts, and A.J. Bryce, creator of the website Transgenre, and the producer of that project's two CDs. And then hour three, this month continues with much more music. That's that. And for Out Radio, which plays on the internet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Lots of new music this month of many genres, from folk to pop to punk to musicals and more from Algergot to Walden.
Those you get all the good images. Words.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. 34 artists bringing you the best of GLBT music. And that would be on outradio.com, and the other one would be on queermusicheritage.com. And in theater news, Judy has...
In theater news, Bayou City Performing Arts and BCWC and GMCH, they're all such long names these days.
Mm-hmm.
You said you wanted some history here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over 30 years ago, the Montrose Marching Band and Montrose Singers were founded to provide a song of hope to a community in need. That must have been ours, huh?
I guess.
Yeah. Now respectively known as the Houston Pride Band and the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, these two performing arts organizations, joined by Bayou City Women's Chorus and the Bayou City Chorale, continue the mission realized so long
I'm
ago.
I'm glad they've gotten together.
I'm saying that's a bunch of people.
That is a bunch
that
of people.
That is a huge group
yeah,
of people.
It is.
Furthering our shared mission, we are excited to announce the addition of a theatrical production company, Unhinged Productions, for our 2011-12 season.
Oh, they've taken over Unhinged?
Be on the lookout for more information.
Wow.
That's right. That's... So, all of these people have gathered together, mm-hmm. and the first part of it has already started, but we do have something coming up in September.
We do?
Yes, we do. Would I lie?
No.
Yes.
But it's very... Not to the radio public in general, Chris,
no.
just to you, honey.
Don't you feel special now?
I'm telling you. It's Let's Get Loud.
Let's Get Loud.
It's a season kickoff event on Saturday, September the 10th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Meteor. Open to the public, annual meeting at 4 p.m. Prizes, music, and entertainment.
Oh.
Help BCPA kick off our 2011-12 season in style.
Oh, so they're doing a teaser at Meteor.
A teaser at Meteor, yes.
Teaser, teaser.
Now, if you're interested in rehearsing and stuff, I think this is still going on so you can be a part of it. Tired of singing in the shower or playing the air trumpet? Use your passion and talent to make a difference through song. Yeah. Oh, yes, this is good. Gay Men's Chorus of Houston, watch it.
I was Jimmy's used to sitting in the shower and playing the skin flute.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Okay. I think these are a little different. Yeah.
It's better than my singing, I'll tell you.
Or the rusty trombone.
There you go. All right, then. The Gay Men's Chorus of Houston open rehearsal Monday, September 12th, 19th, and 24th.
Oh.
From 7 to 10 p.m. at Bethel UCC mm-hmm. and 1107 Shepherd Drive.
Yeah.
And you can call 713-521-SING. That's easy to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Or 521-7464 if you prefer.
They've had that number for years.
Yep. And the Bayou City Women's Chorus has open rehearsals on Tuesday, September 13th, 20th, and 25th
wow.
from 6:30 to 9:30 at St. Paul's UMC at 5501 Main Street.
Ooh.
And for more details, guess what you get to call? 713-521-SING. How exciting is that? So that's the September stuff they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll be coming back with the October stuff at some other point.
Okay.
We also have...
Mm-hmm.
Theater New West is proud to present The Guys by Ann Nelson. Hello. A memorial... did I bring my teeth tonight?
No.
A memorial remembrance for the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Theater New West presents The Guys' performance on...
It's
a benefit for the Houston Fire Protection Fund.
Oh, really?
Yes. Would I lie? It's right there in print. The original production of the New York Times said The Guys is a timeless drama about the surprising truths people can discover in ordinary lives and the connections we make with each other, ourselves, in time of tragedy. So let's see if it's running sometime soon.
So is this is a full play or is it a reading?
Well, it doesn't say, actually. Right off the top of my head, I don't see.
Usually if it's a reading, they say that.
It doesn't say it's a reading.
So it's a play.
All right. The performance will be staged on September... Staged performance, okay. Oh. On September 11th, Sunday.
Sunday.
At Stages Repertory Theater with an early evening curtain of 6 p.m.
Oh, Stages, get her.
Yeah, well, this is not a Stages production, but it's being produced and directed by Joe Watts, mm-hmm. artistic director of New West Theater. New West Theater. Yeah. I said it backwards. Stages producing artistic director Ken McLaughlin was graciously offered one of their... I don't know what he offered because you cut me off.
Oh, sorry.
But Kim McLaughlin is obviously a gracious
something
artistic
or
director.
I don't know what happened there.
You cut me off in mid-line.
I don't know what happened
I should
there.
Be embarrassed, I'm but sorry. I'm not because I didn't print it. That's all the news that fit to print except for me.
Okay. And I believe Wes is next.
Okay. Well... start off with on Sunday, September the 4th,
which is today,
which is also the first Sunday of the month. Mm-hmm. As we all know, that is the Houston Area Bears monthly beer bust over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, starting at 3 p.m.
Oh, wait a minute. Was Thursday the first Thursday of the month?
Oops. Yes, it was.
Yes, it
no.
was. Yes, it was.
Was Thursday the first
Thursday? It was the first day of the month, and it was the first Thursday of the month.
Oh, damn, I missed my hair appointment.
That's okay. You look good.
Okay, sorry.
You finally grew out some.
Just send it to the dry cleaner, and it'll be back fine.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Light starch. Yeah.
So come on out at 3 p.m. over to Tony's. I don't know if we'll be on the patio
what's going
or inside.
On?
The
beer bear bust.
The Bears
monthly
beer bust.
Tell them I love them, Wes, but I won't be there.
I'll be there.
I'm building sets.
Yeah, so come on out. Join us for all sorts of drink specials all afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sets?
At the theater.
Oh, okay. You said S-E-T-S.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know what else we were building.
Up to.
And then again on Sunday.
Sunday.
September the 4th. The Power and Numbers Show.
Oh.
It's that time of year again, and it's time for our show to celebrate our current and past monarchs. It's the Power and Numbers, and we're ready to show you all that a rhesus is about. Get out there, get out those formal gowns, tuxedos, and jewelry.
Mm.
Don't forget about all those beautiful crowns worn by our monarchs to make room. Wait a minute. Our monarchs make the room sparkle and shine. And come on out to a show no one will want to miss. Once again, we'll have a photographer there to take those formal pictures for the coronation program or just because you feel like smiling.
Go.
We'll have a silent auction, some of Jimmy's favorite things to do.
Yes, I love those.
And there will be a social with light snacks before the show starting at 5 p.m. The show starts at 7.
When Arisa says light snacks, that's like...
Like saying the show starts at seven.
Yeah, so put on your put it on your calendar. Sunday, September 4th, at the Brazos River Bottom. We do have tables left if anybody wants one to reserve a seat for the show. Tables are $100 donation to Arisa's, and you'll have 4 seats to invite whoever you want to join you at your table. As always, Arisa's court show event shows are open to all to come perform to help raise money for charity and all benefit the Reign 27 charities of the Lesbian Health Initiative and Montrose Counseling Center, with, of course, 10% going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund.
Mm-hmm. Chaos.
And then on Sunday. Man, we got a lot of Sundays going on here. September the 11th, over at the Brazos River Bottom, a celebration of life for Glenn Landers, a.k.a.
Roxy.
They need to choose a different font next time. Food at 4 p.m. There's a showtime at 5 p.m. And again, one of Jimmy's favorites, a silent auction.
Yes.
All performers are welcome, and this benefits the American Diabetes Association.
Oh.
That's a new one.
That's a new one, yeah.
We all have our causes.
We do.
Yep. Let's see here. When is this? Okay, this is on a Saturday, September 17th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
8 a.m. to 5 p.m.? That's a long show.
Oh, well, this isn't a show.
Oh!
Yeah, this is the 2011 Voices of the Houston LGBTQ Youth Summit, Taking Back Our Schools. So come and connect with your with other youth, learn skills for making your school safer for all students, and sharpen your abilities as leader as a leader to create change. Whether your school currently has a Gay Straight Alliance club or not, you are encouraged to attend. Together, we have the power to make it better. There will be lunch and refreshments. It's going to be taking place over at the GLBT Cultural Center, 401 Bernard, here in great old Houston. You can go to www.montrosecounselingcenter.org/2011voices. There's no registration for participants under 18. Adult registration is $15.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, sounds great.
Let's see, is there anything on the second page I missed?
No.
Nope, that's it. Oh, I haven't seen him in a while. Looks like Mr. Boo Boo is having his sixth annual birthday bash.
Yes, he is.
Daddy Stoot's Big Top, the gayest show on earth, too, on, guess what?
Sunday.
September 18th, 2011 at 7:30 p.m. over at, you'll never guess,
the BRB.
Exactly. Fabulous food, fun, and entertainment. For $50, you can get a reserved table. So contact Boo Boo at stoots1@yahoo.com. This is benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities and is open to all performers. Let's see here. Oh, here's a different day of the week. On Friday, September 23rd at 8 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket is Sundance's third annual Show of Sparkle. Open to all performers, and it's benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. So, that's all that one says.
Well, they're getting all the money this month.
Let's see here. What do we got on this one? On Tuesday? Holy crap.
Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, September 27th. Let's say Impact Houston is celebrating 30 years of survival and National Gay Men's HIV AIDS Awareness
Day. That's right. That's right.
You're invited, and if you're able, we would appreciate you forwarding forward the attachment, blah, blah, blah. We would like this to be an annual event, but that depends on attendance.
Where are they going to be?
It's over at the Montrose Counseling Center, 601. Excuse me, 401 Bernard. I'm reading what's on the page here. From 5 to 9 p.m. on that day.
Did it say 601?
It says 601. Somebody typoed.
You need to get that corrected for
you. Yeah.
Yeah, here, let me.
To them.
Because there is no 601, I don't think.
You'll be knocking on that guy's condo down the street.
Or knocking on the freeway bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right in the middle of the freeway.
But you know these people, so you think...
It's a street party, damn it.
There you go. Looks like that's pretty much it there on that.
Listen, guys, okay. We keep running into in the hallways.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can tell them to fix that.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris's turn.
The Cirque de Sade, Misfits Ball 13, will be on Sunday.
Sunday.
September 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Numbers, 300 West Timer.
That's like next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guest DJ Mark D. Minimum donation suggested of $15, benefiting the Houston Buyers Club and Spry, seniors preparing for the Rainbow Years.
Two great organizations.
The Silent Auction.
Ooh.
Leather, Levi, Fetish Attire, Encourage. Clothes check available. Please be street legal. For more information, go to misfitshouston.org.
Some of us will be doing
sex. Okay.
Gaynell Guller and Jody Travis, candidates for Ms. and Mr. TGRA 2012, present It's a Wrap. On Friday, September 30th, 10 p.m. over at the Brazos River Bottom. Open to all performers. A basket auction and tables are for sale.
I beg your pardon, a basket auction? What the hell is that? Whose basket are they auctioning off?
Well, it depends on how much you tip.
I see.
Benefiting the TGRA and its charities, the Sisters and Colt 45's Trouble Fund.
Yep.
You're invited to Tony's Corner Pocket five-year customer appreciation anniversary party.
Oh, that's nice.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
October 2nd. The party starts at 5. The show starts at 7. Food, fun, friends, and frolicking.
Have you noticed something?
What?
Look at the font on this Tony's.
Yeah.
Doesn't it look like Mary's?
Moving
that's
slowly.
That's the font that Mary's
no,
used.
No, that's just a shadow effect on that font. That's not... Mary's is more of a Western-looking font.
Yeah.
They're asking for non-perishable food items graciously requested for the Resurrection MCC food pantry.
Oh, that's a good idea.
For more information, go to tonyscornerpocketbar.com. Oh, dear God in heaven.
What? What? What?
Jackie Evelyn Thorne, Empress Double XI, and the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star present 29 and holding.
What?
Look at that picture.
Boy.
Somebody used an extra power computer for that Photoshop job.
Yeah. There's some extra Photoshop.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't think Apple Daily could go. on Saturday, October 8th, social starts at 8 p.m. Showtime is 8:30 over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Oh, great.
It's a benefit for the usual suspects for XXVII.
Mm-hmm.
It's paper sticking. Meet up with the Positive Posse, a day of gambling, posse party bus to Cashada Casino in Kinder, Louisiana, on Saturday, October 15th at 8 p.m. It's $12.50 per person. They're meeting at the Walgreens parking lot. A day of slots.
I beg your pardon.
S-L-O-T-S.
Oh. Don't worry, Jimmy. It's at 8 o'clock in the morning, so you're not going to be slotting.
No, I'm not going to be slotting around.
Chartered bus, you must be 21 with a valid picture ID. You'll need it anyway to claim your prizes there. It's a non-alcohol, non-smoking bus. It's a two-and-a-half-hour trip. They'll give you some movies, some snacks, some door prizes.
Mm. Any drag queens?
Possibly. The drag queens were today.
Oh.
On this. You need to purchase a ticket from them. You can go Stutes, one at yahoo.com, Bull on Coins at comcast.net, or Zomper Lewis, who was here last week.
Yeah.
At yahoo.com. They need 40-plus people to get on the bus.
Actually, his name is Eddie Zomper.
Yeah, boy. It says Zomper Lewis.
Yeah.
You're cordially invited to his sister's decadent dessert and more.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrating their 15th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be honoring their founding mothers and wonderful volunteers past and present. This will be on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. over at South Beach Nightclub. You can get tickets online at assisthers.org. One last bit of theater news. Stage Door Inc. is producing right now the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, this is going to be so good.
Performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. and a special performance Saturday night at midnight. So we're competing against them.
Yeah, well.
On that time.
We lose.
Listen to us on the way home from the show.
Yeah, I think we're planning a special after hours night there next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you come down and go to Stage Door and see the performance there, you'll probably run into Jimmy and I.
Yep,
I might go.
You going?
Hey,
I'd love to.
Well, we'll pick you up. You're in.
How much are their tickets again?
Tickets are $15.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them online at stagedoorinc.com.
To see if I have the money for it.
Are they still doing what they were going to do?
What?
I haven't heard about the second part. I have to double check.
Okay.
I hadn't heard on that.
That's what I was told.
Okay.
I didn't get the information. They're also doing a casino bus trip in October.
Damn.
But, you know, you're leaving at 7 a.m. from Pasadena.
That's not happening.
Not James.
So, you can check out StageDoorInc.com or do a search of Stage Door Inc. on Facebook and find out.
Or look for Mark Anthony on.
No, he never responds.
Mark Anthony Glover.
No.
I couldn't remember his last name. I just remembered the first name.
Yeah, if you type in Mark Anthony, you'll get a totally different person.
Yeah.
Mark Anthony Glover is with a C. On that. So you can find out about information at StageDoorInc.com.
Mm-hmm.
They've already done their first performances, and I need to download the poster because I told the girl who's playing Janet, I said, I don't want her shaking her ass in my face this time like they did last time.
Oh,
so,
why?
Well, because it was Janet. I don't need a woman. Damn it, Janet. I don't want that. But then again,
he'd rather have Rocky.
We're getting up to the top of the hour.
Yes, we are.
Actually, from what I can figure out from the poster there, Brad's kind of cute.
Oh.
Oh, poster's not behind me. What am I doing?
I don't know.
You were just looking at me.
Sadly.
I don't know why.
I'll show you.
I got
you
one word for you.
Ah!
It starts with a B.
Gee, what would that be?
Butch?
Yes, it starts with an A. It is with an H, yes. And it's not Butch.
Oh, okay.
He's bringing me a bush.
5 letters long, not 4.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
It's time now for our... we've got a limit to spare there. I guess we'll do the PSAs. We come back and do...
Yeah, we have a memorial to do.
Do a memorial. And we've got the Colts. We've got Hatchlings here. We've got a pretty full...
Oh, my God. We haven't done the Colts, have we?
No.
Oops.
Someone's going to get spanked as a pledge.
Oh, I forgot.
And we've got a round table tonight. Some interesting topics. A couple of grinder stories.
Really now.
Yeah. Some you won't believe, some you will. One's a follow-up. A couple of transgendered news stories. One that struck me more about how it was publicized on a website.
Mm.
And our other usual fun stuff.
Okay.
There. So let's go to our PSAs, and we'll be back in just a moment.
As long as we have hope, prayer, and a little bit of time to get us there. Hope, prayer, and time. As long as we have hope, prayer, and a little bit of time to get us there. Hope, prayer, and time.
World Wildlife Fund. Working around the world to build a future where people live in harmony with nature.
We are ordinary people.
For more than 40 years, World Wildlife Fund has achieved lasting conservation results by working with local governments, communities, businesses, and scientists to save wildlife and wild places. Please help us save the world's most endangered animals and places. Go to worldwildlife.org today. Thank you.
The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. is a nonprofit corporation who provides literature to local high schools about the realities of military recruiting, military jobs, and alternatives to military jobs. The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. invites you to their annual fundraising jazz concert on Sunday, September 4th, Labor Day weekend, featuring local renowned jazz pianist Bob Henschen and others. This jazz concert will be held at the Houston Mennonite Church, 1231 Wirt Road. The concert is at 7 p.m. September 4th. All donations are accepted and all are welcome. For more information, call 832-466-1342. This is KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, our listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting in high-definition radio.
God, I don't know how he does it.
Me neither.
Lots of practice.
You can find out what is on our high-definition broadcast on kpft.org. You can also join us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/afterhourskpft.
Okay. We need to pack a whole lot into a little bit of time.
Why don't we switch it? Let's do the Colts. Night. Let's do the Colts first, then we'll do the memorial that we have the outro to go into.
For the hatchlings.
Okay.
Let's do it that way.
Okay. Judy and I are pledges for the Colts.
Yeah, I'm the good one. You're the bad one tonight.
Yeah,
you don't even have your pledge pin.
Yeah.
Of course I wore my pledge pin. I'm representing the Colts.
Where's your pledge pin? I'm sorry. I forgot it.
Well, Boo Boo didn't text you, though, see, so you didn't really know this until I told you.
Well, right.
But as one of the producers of the show, you were supposed to be sure to remember the Colts were on tonight. So you're the bad pledge, and I'm the good pledge.
Oh.
I want points.
Whatever.
That's right.
I'll call Boo Boo and let him know.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Boo Boo was taking care of some personal business this evening, so he asked me to step in.
That's right.
And I thought, well, I'm just a pledge. I don't know what he's doing.
So
this is a test.
This is a test.
This is a test. So.
Just a test.
I brought a
There will be a beep after this in
notes.
A second.
So tell me about the Colt 45s.
Well, actually, they had their casino trip to Coushatta today, but I haven't heard from anybody to see how well that
was
went.
Today, huh?
That was today, yes. Saturday, not the other one of the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
So we have to wait and see how fun and exciting that was next month.
Okay.
But I know you already mentioned Boo Boo's 6th annual birthday bash on September 18th at 7:30 at the BRB.
That's right.
The gayest show on earth, too. Boy, that ought to be scary.
And that's a fundraiser, of course.
Yes. Fabulous food, fun, and entertainment benefiting the holiday charities.
Okay.
All performers are welcome.
Of course.
And if you want to reserve a $50 table, you can go to stoots1@yahoo.com and talk to Boo Boo about it.
Gee, what a deal. Everybody else charges $100.
I know. And you get food, fun, and entertainment for this $50.
Yeah.
All right. The Colts monthly membership meeting is on the third Monday of every month. The September meeting will be on the 19th at 8 p.m. at the BRB.
Wow.
And ATF meets the first and last Tuesdays of every month in the Colt office upstairs at the BRB.
That's ATF?
ATF. AIDS Trouble Fund. Okay. And if you'd be interested in sitting on the AIDS Trouble Fund advisory board or helping with the ATF charities, please call the hotline at 713-526-6077.
Because the AIDS Trouble Fund is made up of Colt members and non-cult members.
That's right. Keeping each other fun and honest.
That's right. That's right.
Those are
right.
Interesting meetings. They are.
They are.
Yeah. Or you can go to ATF at Colt 45s. That's the numbers, 45S.
Yeah.
.org. And you can download the ATF application if you need to in PDF form at the ATF at Colt 45s. .org as well.
Because the AIDS Trouble Fund is the last resort. If you are HIV positive, have AIDS, and on SSI, and have financial difficulty, and you've been through all of the other agencies, then the Colt 45s are your last resort.
Temporary help.
You're able to get up to $1,000 a year per person, for what you need, and if it's rent, if it's utilities, they pay directly to the landlord and the utility companies.
But you do have to go through the documentation period and get everything to get a form.
Yes, you do, and it's I'm not going to kid you. It's not easy. I mean, you have to have a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. And right. That's as it should be.
Yep.
That's right. If you've got it, you got it.
You got it.
On September 30th at 10 p.m., Gaynell Gulliher and Jody Travis, candidates for Mr. or Ms. TGRA, are presenting It's a Wrap at the BRB, which is open to all performers. The basket auction and tables for sale at $100 each.
Mm.
You can contact Gaynell at ggulliher, G-U-L-I-H-E-R. At hotmail.com to reserve your table. And y'all mentioned that before, but what you didn't say, or what I didn't hear, were the beneficiaries for this.
No, we didn't.
Assisters and the Colts.
Did you say that?
I did not hear because I even looked to sound. I didn't hear it. Well, I'm terribly sorry.
It's in the lower right-hand corner of it.
Okay. So for the AIDS Trouble Fund, the Thacker Fund, or other requests, call the hotline at 713-526-6077, or you can even write the Colts. See, not everybody can do this anymore. The Colt 45s, Inc., P.O. Box 540-803, Houston, Texas, 77254.
Mm-hmm. So what's the Till Thacker Fund?
I don't know anymore. I'm tired.
Oh, the Till Thacker Fund is...
Oh, my.
Oops.
Hey, you're the one that's been explaining all this as I've tried to do my homework here.
That's money for burial.
Yes.
If you are destitute. If you've died, then...
Actually, if you've died, then somebody else can get the money to bury you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it yourself if you
Well, die. Right.
Be kind of difficult, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what he said. I was just clearing it up so the Colts didn't get mad at this pledge.
I see.
I could see the zombies.
At least I knew what
zombies climbing the stairs.
At least I knew what it was about.
I do too. I've been up a lot longer than you have, Bubba.
Well, why did you say so?
What, that I've been up a long time?
No. Then you have the Jill Thacker.
Because I've been reading things, and then you've been explaining them, and then I've read more, and then you've explained more.
And you wonder why people think you two are married.
Oh, God forbid. Well, then we wouldn't be friends. One of us wouldn't be here, and I've been here longer than he has.
And I'm older.
Is that my loud voice? I know he's older. And I'm more beautiful. Yeah.
There's those damn crickets again. just keep them away from my foot.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Let's go to our bit of somber news we have to bring in here, too.
Okay.
Time for me to leave, huh?
What?
Time for me to leave?
No, it is not time for you to leave.
I said somber, not...
not at all. You're a big part of this.
I want to be.
I know. Nobody wants to be a part of a memorial. But this was a person who deserves to be recognized.
I knew that.
Rosie Cheeks. Paul Pruitt, a.k.a. Rosie Cheeks, died unexpectedly last week. It was a surprise, to everybody. Rosie was the type of person who did things for the community and then stepped back because she didn't really want recognition for doing it. She did it because it needed to be done, because there was a need, not because she could say that she had done it.
I believe one of the things that was mentioned at the HCC meeting was the designer of the Louis 25 pin, and did not submit it under his own name, but submitted it under the Houston Area Bears name.
See?
He also, in 1999, presented at our second meeting. The first meeting GCAM had was to find out there was a meeting to see if we wanted a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was decided we did, so we met the second time a month later, and he presented to a very unsuspecting group of 13 people a new logo that he had offered up for, no charge, no nothing. And we used that logo for 10 years.
Pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And also the first fundraiser.
First fundraiser for GCAM for Survival Bucks. Yeah, it was at Mary's in April 2000. And because of his efforts there, it was, I can't remember. All of a sudden the name of it, what he called it, was out of my head. But because of that effort, he was allowed to put GCAM's logo on the front window at Mary's, and GCAM stood out as the first and only at that time organization to ever have their logo put on that window with Mary's emblem. And it was there for 30 days. So,
amazing.
And Rosie actually painted it on there. So,
So
that was kind of neat.
That's very neat.
Yeah.
I will always remember him at Sean Carter's Step Up or Step Down. I think it was a Step Up. And Sean has an Asian background, so there was lots of Asian stuff in what he was doing. And Rosie dressed as a middle-aged geisha. I mean, and she had it all. She had every piece of finery that was needed. I mean, she left out no detail.
Yeah,
she was. It was amazing, absolutely amazing.
We got to present her dress in our very first West Main exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
We had on her Mother of Montrose.
Yeah,
and it was the only time she ever wore it.
Yeah.
So
my memory with her, Rosie, was the Miss Firecracker fundraiser. That there was a play that they did a raffle, and Jimmy was drawn as the raffle winner, and it was Be a Star. And so they threw a feather boa around Jimmy's neck, and he got up on stage at the old briar patch on Greenbrier.
Oh, God. Oh, that was horrible.
And so basically they just said, Jimmy, just remember to just say peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots. And the funniest part about it was Jimmy was up there performing. He looks down at the table where I'm at, and he goes, tip me, damn it. And so I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out a quarter.
Yeah.
You bitch. And he put that, he had one hand on his hip and took that quarter and showed everybody in the audience that quarter.
How cheap he was.
Good for you.
Walked to the other end of the stage, and there was a champagne bucket they were using for the tip jar, and went clank.
Didn't know you had it in you, girl.
And henceforth, a debris was born.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was this. At the end of the night, when they announced the total, it was $7.25. So I knew my money was in there.
Honest as a day is long.
That was a big contributor to our community that will be missed.
Yes. And to say nothing of, I remember when Rosie, or Paul, worked at copy.com.
Oh, goodness. I went to copy.com all the time.
And a lot of people, a lot of organizations got a lot of stuff. They sure did.
Yeah.
They sure did. Anyway, we're going to miss Rosie. And this is a special song because this is what Rosie really was.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
Are we on?
Hello.
Oh, we're on.
Hello.
Oh, there's a light. Yep. That
would bright.
It is bright. Hi, and welcome to the Hatch radio show. My name's Elizabeth.
I'm Lakia.
I'm Miguel.
I'm Nero. This is my first time here.
Welcome.
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 Yay.
And we have a Deb sitting in the background. Hello, Deb.
Hello.
Hi. Are you going to come up here? I was expecting her. She was sitting in the back of the room. I don't know why.
It's not my show. It's your show.
But you still get to sit up with the rest of us.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
there's no Brendan tonight. He's off doing fancy things.
But we have a Deb, so everything's better.
Yeah.
All right. So we always start off the show with giving you guys some contact information. We have first the Hatch telephone number. You can reach it at 713-529-3590. I'll repeat that, 713-529-3590. You can always find Hatch on the World Wide Web at www.hatchyouth.org or search Google Hatch Houston. All right. Somebody want to give out the switchboard number?
Sure.
All right.
If you ever need anything, if you ever need someone to talk to, if you need any information about the GLBT community or anything like that, you can call the GLBT switchboard. The phone number for that is 713-529-3211. And one more time, 713-529-3211. And literally, you can call them about anything. It doesn't have to be GLBT related. If you need someone to talk to, if you need help, if you have questions, anything, they'll help you out there. And we'll give these numbers away at the end of the show, too, so in case you missed it.
So, Miguel, what's the big question? What is Hatch?
Hatch is an organization that serves GLBT youth between the ages of 13 and 20. And we just do daily activities on Fridays, Sundays, and Tuesdays. Tuesdays, we have our meetings from 5 to 9. Fridays from 7 to 10. And Sundays from 6 to 9. And Fridays and Sundays, they're the same. First hour is social hour. Second hour is activity hour. Like, we try to do, like, some sort of activity. And the third hour is small group. Like, we try to, you know, talk to about our personal problems and what sense small group stays small group, basically. And we have these activities and these things for a reason, because we want our GLBT youth to become successful adults in the future, and so they can better understand themselves and be feeling more comfortable in the future as well about themselves and other people.
What happens on Tuesdays?
Tuesdays, yes. On 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. is social hour. 6 to 7 is also social hours. It's also a transgender group. So people have the option to either be in the social hour or join transgender group. And from 7 to 9 is also an activity hour as well.
What are some of the activities that go on at Hatch?
Well, I usually don't come on Tuesdays. Usually Fridays and Sundays are for me because I have school. But last Tuesday that I went, what did we do? I can't remember, honestly.
It's a variety of activities, right? You have people come in and talk to you about community activities, some kind of therapeutic
thing,
as well as kind of game night. You guys have a game night as well?
Yes, we do. We also have a game night once a month. We have a movie night once a month. And from my past experiences on coming on Tuesdays, I remember we've did some coloring in the past.
Yeah.
Did some colorings, and then we've done maybe some activities like playing hopscotch or something like that. So it was pretty fun.
Game night's always fun. All right.
Isn't Friends and Family Night this Friday?
Friends and Family Night this Friday?
To get a full calendar of Hatch events, go to the website www.hatchyouth.org and click on Calendar of Events. Family and Friends Night is coming up, but I couldn't tell you exactly when it is.
I think it's the 9th, but I'm not totally sure, so I don't want to lie to you guys, so don't listen to me.
I still haven't printed out the calendar yet, either.
But yeah, you can always go online, and on the right side of the screen, there's a little calendar streaming, and you can see what's up.
Des makes it all nice and updated and fancy.
Awesomely awesome. All right, you want to go ahead and get started?
Yeah, I guess we can.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the topic of the night?
The topic of the night is Suicide Prevention Month.
All right, so those of us who have been to Hatch have been to Suicide Prevention Night. And on Suicide Prevention Night, what happens?
On Suicide Prevention Night, we get a paper from Fabulous Dev. And we tried to put our phone numbers of our friends, addresses, and different types of things. And we always put in a wallet as a reminder that we still have other people that can help us as well in times of need.
Right. So the letter, the note that we kind of fill out has different sections, and each one is kind of a first step or towards staying away from suicide.
Exactly.
So if you're having suicidal thoughts, if you're depressed, this is what you kind of pull out and look at and make your first decision towards not doing that.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So what do we always say to put on, like, the five numbers to call when you're thinking about suicide?
The five numbers that we always try to put on is the five numbers of our friends.
Well, that's not always true. We always say to put on the switchboard's number.
Switch, right.
Always put the switchboard as your first contact number, just so you have somebody to talk to who, you know, is going to be there and is going to know how to help you or find someone who can help you. Also, you know, of course, put on close friends.
Family and relatives.
Hatch.
Yeah, Hatch, of course.
Hatch is a great number to always have on that.
And also the MCC
number.
Absolutely. What are the five places?
Five places. Hatch, MCC, forgot the other thing. It's been a while since I've done the letter.
All right, well...
Beth, can you help me with that, please?
No problem. Definitely places to go would be Hatch or Montrose Counseling Center. If you're... At the moment, you're thinking about committing suicide, you have no other choice, going to an emergency room. You know, walk into an emergency room, tell them you're thinking about committing suicide, and they'll help you. They'll take care of you, they'll get you to see a therapist, all of that. So that's always one place you must have if it's, you know, last resort. You know, we also say to do some interesting things on fun place, like, you know, if you like to go on a walk or places to go that make you feel comfortable. But definitely have Hatch, Montrose Counseling Center, and an emergency room.
That's the three top priorities, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. There's of course people, of course, phone numbers, things like that. What am I missing? I know I'm missing something.
Thank you.
Deb has come up to the microphone.
Fabulous.
I think awesome. What you're missing is that there's always another option.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons that everyone does their personalized suicide prevention plan is so they can remember the options when they're in crisis, because when we're in crisis, we can't cope. And the options are all things that can help us cope. It's go to the counseling center. It's call your friends. It's go do something that will keep you from obsessing about what you're thinking. But stick out your hand. Nobody wants you to harm yourself. Stick out your hand. Let people help you. And you're going to be surprised sometimes who will step up, because no one wants you to hurt yourself.
Mm-mm. Yes. Nobody
wants you to hurt yourself.
No. Mm-mm.
I can actually think of one time when I was dealing with somebody who was going through a lot of really weird stuff, and I was like, are you going to be okay? And they were just like, you know, I really don't want to live anymore. And so I had to pull out my prevention plan and kind of apply it towards them. And I actually ended up calling the switchboard, and, you know, me and my friend and the switchboard, like, we were on a three-way phone call, and we were on the phone for, like, maybe an hour, and he didn't feel like he was really getting anything out of it, and so I had to skip to another step, which was talk to an adult who I thought could help out, and I ended up talking to his mom and my mom to help sort out the problem. And it seems like that's kind of an obvious thing to do, is to like call your parents or the person you're talking to's parents. But I honestly feel like had I not written this down and had it in my wallet, I wouldn't have thought to do that in like crisis mode. You know what I mean? Like, so it's really beneficial to have a plan laid out ahead of time, just in case you need it or someone else you know needs it. Like, I didn't really think that was a situation that I would run into, but I did. So it was helpful. Very helpful.
Over the years I was at Hatch, and outside of Hatch, it's definitely been something, you know, every time I got to Suicide Prevention Month, I was like, oh my God, I got to fill out this form again. But like to have it was really a good thing to have, you know, whether it was just dealing with suicide prevention or dealing with trying to get out of a dark place. It's something that helps. And it was, you know, it was always something that we knew helped other people. There was, you know, several times where I knew somebody who had filled it out and they had to use it. You know, I'd get a phone call because I'd given somebody my number just in case. And so it's always a really good thing. And I had a really close friend my second year at Hatch who we had filled it out together, and I was the top person on his number list, and he was my top person, and he ended up calling me, and I was like, don't come over to my house, you know, we'll do something, anything. And it helped. It did help. But it's helped me as well. You know, I had, it's, you know, five people, five places, five things to do to get your mind off of it. And, I had, my five things, like listening to music, going on a walk, drawing, or doing some sort of art form. And, every time I get kind of in a down place, I'll kind of do those things, because I know that they'll help me get better. All right, Nero, have you ever filled out the suicide prevention form?
I filled it out twice. Twice. And over the years, I keep losing them.
That happens. I lost a wallet one year, and I lost my suicide prevention form, and I was like, no. But yeah, you can always fill it out for yourself again, though, because it's a good thing to remember that the top three things are five places, five people, and five things. So.
And the form is always available at Hatch.
Yeah.
Always
available at Hatch.
Yeah, I came across mine, like a few weeks ago. Like, I think I filled out, like, four of them before. And I've lost all of them, mostly because I lose my wallet a lot, and I end up having to replace my wallet and everything in it, because I'm just forgetful like that. But I came across one of them. It was inside of a textbook that I was going through my textbooks looking for some textbooks that I might need for the semester, and I found it inside of one, and I was like, oh, looky here. And I don't know, it was really interesting to look back and see, like, who my five people were and what my five things were then. And, like, if I were to remake my list, it would be different. There'd be different numbers, and there'd probably be different things. So it's, I think, also helpful to, I guess, keep revisiting it and making a new suicide prevention plan, because, you know, like, three of the people on that list, incidentally, I don't really talk to anymore.
Yeah.
Or I don't have a good, like, a current number for them, so it wouldn't do me any good. But it's also something that you need to keep current. Like, I really should fill out another one and keep it in my wallet, you know, just in case. But I'll get on that.
it's definitely something to keep current. The first suicide prevention note I filled out, I was 18. It was my first 6 months at Hatch. And the names and the numbers, like, I could barely fill it out. I didn't know very many people. I was... very different time for me, and I got it all filled out, and now that, like, I look back and I remember the people who I put on there, I don't know where any of them are anymore. they're all off doing something different with their life, and so that would definitely not be a relevant suicide prevention plan for me. But yeah, definitely it's like Kia said, it's definitely something you need to keep current.
Yeah. My suicide prevention, well, actually my first one was this year.
Yeah.
I didn't do the one last year because I wasn't a Hatch that much the month of September of 2010.
Yeah.
My first time was actually last year? Oh, well, I came in December of 2009. Actually, it was last year or this year. I can't remember, but it was my first time doing it. I remember putting five people, five places and different things. And I believe like, two or three of those people I don't talk to anymore for many reasons. So I, you know, as you said, I just have to make it current. And when I first filled out, I was like, wait, what is this? Deb, what is this? What am I doing? I don't remember doing this before.
Yeah.
This is very interesting.
It's kind of interesting. I think one of the funniest nights I ever had was It was my second or third year at Hatch, and we had a lot of people the first night at Hatch was suicide prevention night. And so it was like five or six new people.
That's always really weird.
New people who have never been to Hatch before got to sit down, and we had to explain what suicide prevention night was. And they're like, is this what you guys do here? We're like, no. This is just one of the many things that we do towards helping kids stay safe. This is not what we do every week, I promise you. It's fun most of the time. There's just a few nights a month, a few nights a year that are dedicated towards keeping us safe or keeping us informed.
Exactly.
Yeah, so this is not what you should expect every time you visit Hatch.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting experience for me. But then, you know, once in a while we'll look at it and be like, oh, I'm just, you know, in case I'm in trouble or I feel out of place, I can just call these people and let's see where it goes from there. And I know that they will help me. I know they'll try their best to help me. I know Hatch will try their best to help me. And I know MCC will try their best to help me because they still want me alive.
Exactly. I mean, no, we don't want anybody to feel like they have no one, you know, especially the people we know, vaguely know or really, really, you know, are really good friends of ours. You know, we don't want anyone to go down that path.
Exactly.
And so, you know, just give somebody a phone call.
Yeah.
There's a project going on right now. Have you heard of the It Gets Better project?
Yes, I have.
I've made an It Gets Better video.
Oh, really?
On YouTube. Yeah, I haven't posted it yet, but yeah, I made one a while ago. It was like maybe almost a year ago, actually, but, and I never posted it on YouTube because I didn't really have a YouTube channel, but yeah, I made an It Gets Better video like a year ago.
Yeah. Kia, why don't you inform our listening audience what the It Gets Better project is?
Well, I don't know too much about it. I just know that it's kind of this campaign to, like, I guess, reassure younger people, or I guess older people too, that it gets better. Like, anything, especially, I guess, associated with coming out and being or identifying as GLBT, like, it seems really scary when you first, you know, come into the realization, when you feel like you're first coming out to people. It's really scary, it's really frightening, and it's really stressful, and sometimes you're in situations that seem like they will never get better, like they'll never get, you know, any brighter, but it does get better, especially in college. College is great.
Yes.
Everything gets better after high school.
I was going to say, that doesn't the project mostly focus on middle school and high school?
Yes.
Youth and explaining how, you know, in high school, in middle school, you know, bullying may be really bad. It may be feel like there's nothing else you can do to get out. And it's just a project to remind them that this is just a part of your life.
Exactly. Yeah,
it gets better. It will get better. And it's a really cool thing because, like, a lot of, like, celebrities and, like, figureheads have, like, come out and made It Gets Better videos. And it's really, like, moving kind of project because it's just, like, a bunch of people reaching out to younger people and being like, you know what, don't give up. Don't hurt yourself. Don't, you know, sit there and think that it's over for you or you can't go on because, you know, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Tomorrow's going to be better. Today sucks, but tomorrow's going to be great. It gets better. And I don't know. It's really cool. And actually, who was it? Someone made a It Gets Better video, and I was, like, so excited. I watched it, like, 20 million times, and I can't remember who it was. I just know a whole bunch of celebrities made them. Like, Philip DeFranco. I'm in love with Philip DeFranco. He made one. Michelle Obama made one. Just, like, a bunch of people were making them. It was really, really cool.
Deb has something to say.
Oh, no. I have one up.
Oh,
Deb has one. It's better. Deb has one. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah. Deb has a YouTube channel?
I need a YouTube channel.
I'm going to find you on YouTube.
I was never, I was homeschooled, so I never really fell into the regular high school or middle school category. But I have to say, even as a homeschool student, like, going through those ages, just going through the, you know, puberty age stages in life, going through the peer pressure of that time period, you know, It Gets Better. It doesn't just affect high school kids and middle school kids. It affects everyone in that age range, you know. It's something to think about. You know, because I remember when I was that young, I had the same depression and issues and bullying issues, even though I wasn't in a general high school. So it's definitely something that applies to everybody.
Yeah. Sure. And like for me, like I was never bullied. Like, I think I was bullied in, like, kindergarten. And, like, I don't know. I just...
Because you're taller than everyone else.
Yeah, I've always been a lot taller, a lot bigger, and a lot more outspoken than a lot of my classmates. And so I guess no one just ever felt the need to say anything mean about me, or at least they didn't have it in them to say it to my face. But, like, I was never bullied, and so, like, but I still feel for people who are bullied, because I would always see people get bullied, and I always felt like seeing other people hurt me, and, you know, that's kind of really driven a lot of, like, what I want to do with my career, like, helping people who need help, people who can't always help themselves. And just, like, I just remember seeing people get bullied, seeing people get harassed, like I remember taking people to the side and being like, do you want me to tell the teacher? Because I'll tell the teacher. They're like, no, don't worry about it. I'm like, I'll tell the teacher. Don't worry. I'll go tell the teacher if you want me to. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. Like, people who don't even feel like they should be stood up for, you know, kind of thing. And that really hurt me in high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it hurts everybody. Bullying hurts everybody. It doesn't just hurt the person being bullied, and it doesn't even just hurt the bully. It hurts, like, onlookers. It hurts everybody. It hurts, like, the entire community. So, it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Miguel, this is your second year out of high school?
I've been out of high school since June of 2010.
Okay.
About a year.
Last year was your first semester in college, and this is your second semester, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about being out? Sorry, I'm dropping things. Okay. How do you feel about the It Gets Better project? Is it definitely different now that you're out of high school and in the college setting and around people who, you know, you don't feel as pressured, you don't feel as... kind of bullied even from a distance?
Yeah, actually, college is way better. I'm just going to put that out right now. College is way better than high school, and especially middle school, because I had to deal with a lot of bullying experience because I was gay in middle school, and middle school's not a fun time.
No, middle school's not a fun time. Middle school children are evil.
It's like hell, basically.
Yeah, and I just had difficulty and a difficult time in middle school. I remember being pushed down the stairs. I remember name calling and all that. It was just not a fun time at all. And high school, it got a little bit better, but there was still some of the effects from middle school. And after high school, it really got better. I mean, I don't experience any of the things I experienced in high school, especially in middle school. No one really cares what you are. It's like everyone's very open-minded now. And really, it does get better. It really does, because it did help me. It did help me a lot after high school. And I actually bought the book, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I bought the book. I went to a presentation at the Brazos bookstore about months ago, and they were talking about the book, and I bought it. I've read some of the few messages from celebrities and, you know, the president, Michelle Obama, and all the others. And there's one, there's one page that's in Spanish, one page that's in Arabic, and maybe in some other foreign languages, but the majority of the book is in English. So not just celebrities here in America or famous people or whatnot, but also authors or celebrities from around the world as well try to contribute to the book, because they know it does get better in the future, and they know that you're not alone, that you're someone just like everyone else.
Awesome. Nero, are you still in high school or are you college?
I've been out of high school since 2009.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I just started college, last month. I just started my first year.
How was your experience leaving high school and getting into either the, you know, out of high school experience or college experience? Did you notice a difference?
I really never really had a problem with bullying. I just get name called and I was pretty much strong.
Being called names, being put down in any way, is considered bullying.
Yeah.
So whether or not you're being physically assaulted, having somebody assault you verbally is still bullying.
Yeah, but back then, it was just words. From a way, I really don't get really offended with the name, because I already know who I am. I just don't let other people bring me down I was like, if they call me, I'll call, name call me, I'll like, whatever, whatever, and keep moving, keep moving on, because I really don't have the time to be like arguing back and forth. I just don't have the time for it, because if you have the time to like stop me.
It's okay.
I know it's your first time.
Yeah, if you have enough time to like come up to me and say negative things towards me about my sexual preference, then I really don't have time for you, because you bringing up really pointless stuff that really doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah.
Because
that's a really, really good outlook. And it takes a lot of people a long time to get to the point where they realize that what other people think of them doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's what they think of themselves that truly matters. Mm-hmm. Did it get better after high school?
Yeah, it got better because there are a lot more people that are more open about it. And they know not to say those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not really cool, and you basically lose respect from other people if you do that. So, so it's just rare, like name calling, all that stuff. It's like, who has the time for that now?
Yeah, we're also busy worrying about our next government exam or that paper we've got to write for English.
Yeah.
But also when you get to college, a lot of people go through kind of an understanding of what people are. I mean, my first semester in school, I took psychology, and we learned about everybody. And it was really interesting to sit in that classroom and have people who had never had this conversation before learn and actually have to learn in a setting where they couldn't just be belligerent and mean, but actually learn. So it was really cool. For me, like I said, I was homeschooled, but I was still, you know, I was active. I was a sports kid. I was out in the community with groups of kids my age. Sorry. And I still went through the kind of the bullying. I was never the physically fit kid, although I was played on the city tennis team, and I was a very active kid. I was never fit. So I was always bullied about my weight, about my height, about my parents. My parents are very eclectic. and also being a homeschool kid got me a lot of flack from a lot of the other kids because I wasn't really in the, like, an actual, like, student or high school student or anything like that. I was just kind of, you know, at home doing whatever I wanted to do. So it also got me a lot of flack. And when I graduated high school, I didn't go straight into college. But I have to say, like, getting out of that setting, getting out of that age group, it did get a lot better. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot easier. You know, I felt like I could breathe easier once I was away from that age group. And getting to Hatch also helped me out a lot. It helped me with my social aspect of my life. It helped me with being able to talk about who I really was. It made me a lot more comfortable with who I was as well.
I felt like I could breathe easier, like, as soon as I left my parents. Well, not, like, just that, but, like, I went to high school in Clarksville, Tennessee, and that is a very, very small town in a very, very red state in the Midwest. And, there was almost no GLBT community to speak of. Like, it was all completely underground, very seedy, all adults doing questionable things type situation. And so there was really no one to talk to. There was really, you know, nowhere for me to go to as, you know, for resources or anything. So, like, even though I wasn't bullied, like, I didn't really have an outlet. I didn't really have very many people to talk to or anything like that. And just as soon as I moved to Houston, as soon as I got out of that small town, like, I just felt like I could breathe easier. Okay. Like, I, you know, like, I wasn't even, it was probably, like, maybe 2 months after I moved to Houston that I started going to Hatch. And just, like, even in that time, I just felt better. Like, I felt less restricted. I felt like I could say the word gay and people wouldn't look at me I could, you know, I could identify as being GLBT and people wouldn't freak out about it because, you know, this is a much bigger city. There's a lot more diversity. There's a lot more understanding than there is in, you know, itty bitty town, Tennessee. So, you know, even if it's not, you know, the transition from high school to college, even if it's just getting out of a small town into a bigger town, like, just that feels a lot better. Like, it just, I feel like my wings have been spread open now. Like, they were, like, I was like Angel in the beginning of X-Men, the second one, where he's, like, trying to cut off his wings because he doesn't want to be a freak. And then at the end of the movie, he, like, spreads his wings and they're all pretty. That's how I felt. But yeah, so, like, I don't know, just transitioning from, like, less constriction to more, or, wait, no, more constriction to less. Yeah, yeah. That feels good. That feels amazing. Like, it's crazy how good that feels. But yeah, it gets so much better. Like, oh my gosh, it gets so much better.
Oh yeah.
High school sucks. True.
It definitely does. It's not like High School Musical.
No, it's not. I wish life were like High School Musical.
I love all these, like, melodrama, like, teenage movies where they portray high school as something, you know, that's not horrible. And it is. But it's not. I mean, there's people who get through high school and they never have any real issues. And then there's people who get through, that make it through high school, but they've struggled their way through high school and they've had to deal with bullies and being put down and having people not believe them. And so there's two aspects to high school. And it gets harder as you get older in high school, but once you get out, it's so much better. I mean, like you said, middle school kids are hell.
Yeah, they truly are.
They are so evil.
Like, possessed by the devil incarnate himself.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's because they've just learned about everything, and so now they know how to make fun of everyone in the world.
I swear, some of the things that would come out of those children's mouths, just like...
I'm a server, and I had a table. I was one of the unfortunate souls who dealt with 176 middle school students over summer break that came from Mississippi or something.
Oh, wow.
And this was the horrible part. They were on a church retreat, and both of their servers were gay. Me and my coworker are two of the gayest characters at my job. And so both of their servers were gay, and this was a church retreat.
Uh-oh.
And this was, like I said, about 176 between middle school and freshman and high school students. I about strangled half of them.
I can imagine.
Like, it wasn't even their food orders. It wasn't their incessant need for new drinks or anything like that. It was the stuff that they were saying to each other. Like, I just wanted to sit them all down and slap them, each one of them individually, and explain that what they were saying was horrible. And that they were just being mean for no reason. Like, that was a
young
horrible
people,
day.
Man.
I blame the media.
There's so many reasons why we should blame the media.
Exactly.
Yeah, kids are awful. They say horrible things, and most of the things
really
they
good.
Say are just... Oh, yeah, I mean, there's lots of really awesome kids, but I'm just saying, like, you should never take anything anyone says that's hurtful to heart, because they just say mean things. The same mean things.
Yep.
Most of them aren't even true, and if they are true, the show still shouldn't say those things, and you still shouldn't take it to heart. Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
not good.
No bueno.
No bueno.
Yeah. No me
gusta. I wish I could speak Spanish.
Gay?
I think I'm the only fluent speaker here. Well, semi. Oh, didn't you take Spanish? Oh.
No, I thought of... I have the Rosetta Stone program.
Do you still? Because you wiped your laptop.
No, I had saved on another program. Mm-hmm. I have it, and I've done the first, like, section, so I can say bicicleta and niño bebé. But that's about it.
Oh, don't
worry. Muy poquito.
Don't
I know
worry.
Very little.
I'm going through the same thing as you are, but with another language. I'm learning Japanese this semester. That's going to be hard.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, and I have a very strict Japanese teacher from Japan, so yeah.
So all of us are college students this semester, huh?
Yep.
Yeah?
Just, I wanted to say that I can read and write French. I just wanted
to
throw
that out there. Yeah, she's the French person. And
I can't speak it or comprehend it very well when it's spoken, but I can read and write pretty well.
Parlez-vous français?
Je parle un peu français.
I think that means, yes, I speak French.
Sure, why not?
All right. So one of the big things about college, you know, especially if it's your first semester or if you're, you know, it's your first time back in school, is knowing how to deal with the stress.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we started off today with suicide prevention, and one of the biggest things that affects kids in our age range is the stress of the first semester in college and kind of taking on those new steps and not knowing how to deal with them. Most of us, I think, are community college students.
Not Nero.
Not Nero? Where are you to go to school?
UHD. Yeah. I saw you.
Yeah.
I was working like 2-3 weeks ago, and my job was vending at UHD. And, like, I saw a million people that I know on UHD. I was just handing out burritos. People like, hey, have a burrito. And I saw Nero there.
Yeah. I have to say, one of my first and biggest mistakes my first semester in college was time management. I worked full-time. I was a full-time student. I didn't sleep.
She just learned the value of sleep. Just, like, this week.
It's no joke. This last semester taught me that I need to learn how to sleep more and how to time management more. Manage my time and knowing when to study, knowing when to work, knowing all that stuff. Before, I was working at a job where either I worked full-time or I didn't work at all. And so I would work Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday night sometimes, try and get some sleep, but most of the time I had like a paper due the next morning, and so I'd be up all night trying to finish the paper. It was so stressful. I was so worried about my grades. I still got good grades, but I know my grades could have been a lot better, and I shouldn't have been as worried if I had just taken the time to work through and plan my days a little bit better.
Or if she just listened to Kia. I'm just saying.
Or Deb.
Deb is smart.
Or Allie. There was a whole lot of people telling me to cut back on my work and sleep.
Money talks.
Yeah, this semester I'm working at a place where I work on the weekends now, and I've been able to sleep. Not that I'm going to get much sleep tonight, but
That's okay. We don't have school again until Tuesday.
That's true. I have time to do that government homework.
You got to hook me up on that job because I'm still looking for one on the weekends.
What was the biggest thing you learned from your first semester in school?
First semester, right, procrastination. Very common thing with college students. Don't be surprised. I remember I had English 13-1 at HEC Central. It was composition one. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was like an English class in high school. I remember I would always leave my essays until the last day. The day they were due. I did them like 4 hours before they were due. And then I'll be like, type. And then I'm like, professor, here you go. And then I would be so nervous. I'll be like, no, I'm not going to see. I'm going to F. And then they would always be A, B, or C. I remember we did 9 papers total. I had 2 A's, 5 B's, and 2 C's. So really, it was a good turnout, but I remember procrastination was a biggie for me.
And also, if you had taken the time, and I'm one to speak from, I did several paper the day before they were due.
The morning
they were due sometimes. I do rewrites the morning that they were due. Taking the time to do them, taking the time to work on them, you get that A because your professor can see that you actually worked on them.
Yeah.
Like the quality of your writing is so much better.
The quality, the grammar, it's everything, structure, everything looks so much better if you've had the time to go over it and do it again.
I was just completely.
Procrastination is probably one of the biggest downfalls of a college.
I was the total opposite. Like, I was one of those people who, like, they went in their freshman year and was, like, their freshman year just went perfect. Like, first semester in college was, like, absolutely perfect. And then I progressively got lazier. But, like, no, my first semester was, like, a cakewalk. I had 19 hours my freshman, my very first semester in college. Because, you know, I was, like, no, okay, I went to a really competitive high school, like, everyone, like if you got below a 3.0, you were one of the kids, like, you need tutoring kind of situation. Like, I went to a very academically competitive high school. And so, like, when I went into college, I was like, psh, I can take 7 classes. That's nothing. Or, yeah, it was 7. It was 6? 6 or 7 classes. Some of them were music classes, so they were only, like, 1 or 2 hours. But, like, my entire schedule was 19 total credit hours. And, you know, I was fresh off the diploma. I was like, man, like, I was used to, like, getting up at 6 a.m., having class at 7, having 8 classes a day, and then doing the same thing 5 days a week. And so I was like, I could do this. And I did. I was really, really successful my first semester. It was probably the best semester I had all college. Straight A's, except for 1B. 1B. It wasn't bio. What was it? Speech, maybe? Nope, I can't even remember what it was.
It wasn't speech.
It was something else. I can't remember what it was. But, like, it was really an awesome semester. I had all the same study habits that I had in high school. And in high school, you know, I had a bedtime in high school because, like, I was in marching band, and as soon as I got home from practice, I was exhausted. So I just, you know, I was in bed by 11. Woke up at 6 a.m., had all my homework done before I went to practice. Like, I had a really good study schedule, I had really great habits. And then I, you know, got wrapped up in the crazy mixed up life that is being an adult and working. Working is what killed me, because, like, I don't know. I guess, like, in high school, like, if work was just getting too much, I took, like, 3 weeks off of work. And, you know, it didn't matter because I had parents who paid for my gas. So I could take 3 or 4 weeks off of work. But, you know, after I moved out, I didn't have the same luxury. So, yeah, work and then, you know, extracurricular stuff and, like, school. And college is harder than high school. I don't recommend that if you are going into college that you take 7 classes your freshman year.
No.
I had to get permission from the dean to do that. I had to go to the dean of instruction and have permission to take that many classes, because they don't actually let you have more than 18 hours. It's considered academic overload, and you need special permission. But I had high GPA from my high school and a high ACT score, and they let me do it.
Yeah.
And I was successful, so it wasn't like a mistake.
We have to step in. It's time to do our PSAs. Okay. And top of the hour, we'll be back in just a moment.
The Inwood North Community Outreach Program, also known as NCOP, has been providing community and educational services to several low-income areas in Northwest Houston for over 5 years. NCOP's mission is to promote, foster, and initiate programs aimed at supporting the family unit through education and training. These programs include adult computer and ESL classes and a before and after school enrichment program, technology-based tutoring project, and a child anger management classes to continue meeting the increasing number of children and families requiring NCOP's educational, counseling, and training services. NCOP needs your support through financial donations and volunteerism. To learn more about its programs and how you can help, contact Mrs. Roberry Collins on 281-931-1650. You can visit our website at www.ncopcdc.org. NCOP is located at 5400 West Mount Houston, Houston, Texas, 77088. Please help NCOP help children. This is KPFT Houston.
Would you like to feel more peace and happiness in your relationships and enhance your ability to communicate with others? Would you like a deeper awareness and acceptance of your feelings and needs, all of them? If you are curious about these possibilities, join us on September 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Dominican Center, 6501 Almeida, for a free 3-hour introduction to a process known as compassionate communication, or also known as nonviolent communication. This free 3-hour introduction will be followed by a 3-day training and facilitated by Raj Gill, the founder of the Freedom Project Canada. For more information, visit www.houstonnvc.org or phone Susan at 281-412-4564. Please join us.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting in high-definition radio.
Yeah!
love it every time you do that.
Yeah. And I've had to add another signal in.
I noticed that. I was like, this just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And,
like,
longer.
This
and then what was with that woman before you talked? She was so monotone.
Yeah, something about communication, and maybe she needs to learn a little bit. You can also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/afterhourskpft.
All right. Woo.
I love Facebook.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Hat Show. We're coming back to college and It Gets Better, as well as suicide prevention. We're going to go ahead and give it to Nero. Talk about It Gets Better with college and how to deal with stress and some of the mistakes you made your first year in college.
After high school, I took like 6 months off and I went to Art Institute. And the Art Institute, it's really, really, is you have to pay attention in that school because
it's really accelerated, huh?
Yeah, it's really accelerated because it's like they don't go by semesters, they go by quarters, like winter, fall, spring, and
summer.
Yeah, get my seasons mixed up. Well, anyway, while I was there, like what Miguel said, I had the same problem with procrastination because at Art Institute, I always do my stuff at the last minute or something always comes up to a point where I can't get to my schoolwork on time. And also another thing, make sure you have all your materials because I didn't have any materials like books and, yeah, that's basically it, books, because my financial aid can't cover my books, which is really retarded. Anyway, that's the only problem I had with Art Institute was procrastination, and that was really stressful, and much more stressful is that I had to deal with work, because they overload me with hours, and sometimes they cut hours, and sometimes I didn't have enough to get to school. Mm-hmm. So that was the big stress factor and structure. Honestly, like, where I'm like, do I have enough money on my cue card to get to his class, or like, I really can't miss class. So that's what is good. And the thing is, with artists too, their attendance was also stressful because if you miss three, you're out. Three absences and you're out. You're dropped from the class. So it was kind of stressful due to the way it was running with the attendance and the procrastination and the cost of materials. So
that's a big oh my god, I only have like two more books that I need to buy. I'm almost there. Books are so expensive.
I had to spend like $150 on a math book, which I shouldn't even buy it because my teacher made it mandatory, and this week now he's saying we didn't have to buy a book. I was like, really?
My math class is totally the opposite. I do not need my math lab. I only need the textbook. And it's a brand new textbook this year because they switched to a new statistics book. And so they don't have
the thing about a lot of colleges right now is they're telling the professors to tell the students that the books for that course are required or mandatory. But a lot of professors, like, know that they're not. So, like, in my math class this semester, you know, the paperwork said mandatory math book. But we got to class, and the first day she said the book was mandatory. The second day she's like, yeah, you guys just need my math lab. Because my math lab has the book online. So, like, a lot of the schools are kind of cracking down and trying to get the professors to make sure that the books are being bought. But they're not truly. Like, a lot of classes don't need them. Especially math classes. A lot of people need my math lab more than that. Except for maybe statistics.
Yeah. Yeah. The textbook I got, I hated the way it's designed. Because you had to put in a binder. I'm like, if that thing, because if the paper falls out, I'm like, all these papers all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Like, and the binder itself said it can only hold 275.
Yeah.
And it gave me 500 sheets.
Yeah. The first semester I was in school, the math book I got was 725 pages or something like that. This thing weighed, like, I have no idea how much it weighed. I wouldn't carry it. I refused to carry it. Like, I was like, I will survive without this book because my bag already weighs 50 pounds. Like, add this book in and it's gonna break. Like, this is ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, the cost of the books themselves, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, like, if the pages are all over the place, it's like, $150 down the drain. Like, I can't really... Like, half the pages will be flying all the place.
So you're at UHD this semester?
Yeah, I'm at UHD. This is my third week.
What are you majoring in?
At RSU, I was majoring in filmmaking, and I'm continuing to pursue that major. But UHD don't have my major, so I had to do communication studies because, you know, like, movies and, like, broadcasting like we're doing now ties together communication, so
right.
So that's my major for right now, but 2 years from now I might transfer to UH Maine.
Jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
They have a filmmaking.
Yes.
Very cool.
What's your major, Miguel?
Chemistry.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Deb was rooting for me, Vector, because her major was in chemistry too. Woo-hoo. And I've been getting a few pointers from her. So, yay.
I hate chemistry. Oh. But good for you. No, good for you, because if you can do chemistry, that speaks volumes as to your intellect, because I can't handle chemistry at all.
I can handle a lot of the math and science. A lot of people from the high school that I graduate from, that, you know, they go to the science field, they usually go for the nursing field. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't deal with bodies. I can't deal with such things, blood and near. I can do down that. I have to mix equations together. I have to numbers, da, da, da. So, yeah, that's why I picked that major. I just had a passion for it.
When you say chemistry, cool. I always think of mixing, like concoctions to a point where...
It's not like I'm going to blow everything up. Just, I'm not. I'll be very careful.
Please do. I don't need the fourth floor of the hub to blow up, please, anytime soon. Kia, what's your major?
Social work. Sociology.
Sociology.
Yeah. Sociology. But I'm going into social work and I'm so excited.
Oh.
I know.
Nice.
Awesome.
I'm very excited about, I don't know, helping people.
Yeah. Aww. I, unlike Miguel, am the blood, guts, and gore future. I'm going into either biology as my bachelor's, and then I'll go into pre-med for a master's and doctorate.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, I want to be a doctor. Be around all the blood, guts, and gore.
Well, can I have
a lot more college to come?
Oh yeah, I've got a long road of education ahead of me and overpriced books.
Yes.
Oh my god, I bet the medical books, like, you have to get, like, they probably issue new ones like every, like,
yeah. Have you seen the cost of the MCATs prep book?
Yes, I have.
Ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous.
That's awful.
Can I have a discount price when I'm sick?
Well, considering the field of medicine I'm going to, I think you're a little bit too old, since I'm going to be focusing in pediatric medicine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But perhaps your children.
Maybe. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
And all right. By the time Beth starts practicing, I'll be in my second childhood, so I expect that discount.
Exactly. Yeah. I always said that Deb was going to be considered my biggest child. All right. Well, I think it's time to kind of wrap this up and to do that. We're actually going to give the mic over to Deb to run us through something real fast.
Deb Murphy.
Yay. Yes. Hey, during the break, Miguel asked me to spend a couple minutes reviewing a model that not only explains suicide, but more importantly tells all of us a few simple things we can do as a community to prevent suicide. You know, working with Hatch, my focus on suicide is around keeping young people safe. But older people also have increased risk of suicide. Gay people have increased risks of suicide. So we need to be mindful as a community that suicide is a serious problem, but the good news is, in a large majority of the cases, simple things can be done to fix it. The model, I use Joyner's model for understanding suicide for anyone who wants to geek out and look that up. But basically, one of two preconditions has to be in place. One of two things has to happen before someone will attempt or commit suicide. And the first is the feeling they don't have any place to belong. The idea that they are all alone and that they were all isolated and they just don't have any place that they fit in. And if you are a gay GLBT person who's listening to this program, you do fit in. You fit in here. And there's other places for you to fit in. Please go find them, because being all by yourself is terrible. The second thing is to feel like fill in the blank would be better off without me. And one of the reasons I like the Gets Better project is it shows you how people who had felt like there was no place for them and that their family, the school, the world would be better off without them were wrong. And once they got a little more perspective on their life and got out of that horribly artificial world called high school, it did get better. So as a community, what this means is we have to work really hard to be inclusive. Say hello to that person you walk by every day and never speak to and don't know. You don't have to know them to say hello, to make them feel like they're seen, to make them feel like they're a part of the community. And make sure that the people you deal with know that they have value to you. One of the things I'm always really careful to do at Hatch is make sure as those young people come through the door, they know I am genuinely happy that they're there. I am genuinely happy to see them, that I not get distracted with getting the sodas or getting the snacks or worrying about the computers. I want them to know that they have a place and that there is one person who thinks that they matter. And if we are all doing this as a community, we're all going to be a lot healthier, we're all going to be a whole lot safer, and we're going to be a lot more effective.
All right. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you, Deb.
And just to reiterate, you know, of course, you know, suicide is never an option. There are always people out there who you may not think at that moment that really care about you, but everyone, you know, whether they know you not that well, or they're your really close friends with you, we all care about each other, and we don't want to see someone do something like that. So it's always a good thing to call somebody or ask for help. And again, places to call, you know, Montrose Counseling Center, if you're a Hatch youth or in the Hatch youth range, Hatch, the GLBT hotline, always call someone. Don't ever think that there's nothing out there for you to grab hold of and talk to. Five places, five things, five people. Always good things to have in your wallet. Five people you can call in emergency. Five places you can go if you feel like there's nothing else you can do. And five things you can do to get your mind off of what's happening. Miguel, do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it does get better after high school, that you'll be worrying about more things like work and school and other things that you guys like instead of worrying about this name-calling, all that, because you'll be so distracted with so many other important things than bullying. So it will get better. Don't worry, guys, because we're all here with you. We want you to be safe. And just know that you're not alone, that we've been through your shoes before, and we'll still be fighting for you guys no matter what.
All right. Nira, did you have something you want to say?
Just so you know, just keep your head up. Just don't let anyone else bring you down, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It gets better after the fake plays up.
That was me. My bad. Keep going.
Just so you know, you're not by yourself. We, like Miguel said, we all went through it. We all went through it, and I wish people don't have to go through it, but it happens. But just keep your head up, keep your chin up, and be strong, and stay strong about it. Because if you need help, just turn to that someone that can help you. Help you, like a friend or family member or your parents. So.
And if you don't have those places to turn to, like Deb said, there's always some place in the community. And even if you're in the middle of nowhere, there's someone you can call that is always going to be there to help you. And there's these hotlines all over the United States that you can, you know, get in contact with, and they'll help you.
And that's true.
Kia, did you have anything you want to say?
I just wanted to, I guess, echo what everyone else was saying. Just, if you feel like that, you know, you're kind of in a position where your only option is hurting yourself or, ending your life or something like that, just know that, that's so far from the truth that there's just so much more waiting for you. There's your entire adult life. There's, you know, new friendships, new relationships, new experiences that are waiting for you. But you got to get there first. You got to just, if you just hold out until you just get out of whatever situation you're in, then you'll be okay. Because, you know, suicide is just, whatever you're going through is temporary. It's not permanent, and you will get past it. But if you die, you're just, it's done. It's over. But if you can just get past it, if you can just wait until it's over, there's just so much more waiting for you and so much more just exciting stuff, experiences. And it's totally worth it to wait.
Just like what you said, you know, Deboe said suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap up Hatch with some numbers and information we started out with. So we're going to go ahead and give you the Hatch phone number. You can call Montrose Counseling Center Hatch at 713-529-3590. Again, that's 713-529-3590. And you can always find Hatch on the World Wide Web at www.hatchyouth.org. Or Google us at Hatch in Houston. All right, and we're going to hand this over to Kia real fast, and she's going to give you the switchboard number.
Yay! The switchboard number is 713-529-3211. One more time, in case your pencil broke and you got to go get a new pencil. 713-529-3211. And like I said earlier, you can call them for absolutely anything. If you need to talk, if you're going through some stuff, if you just have questions about the community or anything at large. Oh,
she's 24/7.
24/7, you can call them anytime, any day of the week. So yeah. She was like throwing numbers at me. I was like, what's happening? Did I say the number wrong? No, they're 24 hours, and you can call them anytime about absolutely anything, and they will be there to help you out. So that's that.
I want to give a big round of what's up to Deb for being here tonight. Yay.
Woo! Woo!
That got loud. Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Deb, for coming in. Thanks. And being the awesomeness that is Deb.
I've known Deb for years before Hatch. She's part of one of my favorite Pride stories.
Oh, I'm sure that's something that should not be shared on the radio. she's giving you the signal of death.
I've mentioned it several times. It's a cute story.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh, she's coming towards the radio.
Let us say that I was younger then.
Blame it on the youth.
But I walked in, like, oh, my God, Deb's here. It's like, because it's been a long time since I've seen her around here.
Yeah, she has that sleepy time syndrome. She likes to be in bed.
That, and she lives not so close.
Yeah, that's true.
Quite a ways away. So, thank you for being here, Deb.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Oh. Yay. All right. Well, everyone, you guys have a wonderful night and a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Night.
See you in October.
Bye-bye. Later.
And let's put a little music in your ear. We'll be back a little bit with even more music. This is KPFT Houston and After Hours.
Houston, Texas, just before he finished breakfast, he said, oh baby, buy some more eggs, but I was running on my own two legs. Yeah, if Jesus has the power, then so do I, to rise up from the dead and take up to the sky. I'm blessed for the money that I get by, and if music is a victim, then so am I. No bad fun, money's all gone, but you need some. Love is all I found, but they got none. Daddy ate home from the dog run. And they're riding through the city with a shotgun. Riding through the city with a shotgun. Riding through the city.
what you get every time. What you see is what you get. It blows my mind. What you see is what you get every time.
Every time.
What you see is what you get. It blows my mind.
It blows my mind.
What you see is what you get every time.
Every time.
What you see is what you get.
My time, 'cause I know what I like. Come go with me.
can rock it all night. I got fever, da da. I need ya, I got fire running through my veins. Baby, hug me, don't you desert me? I need you to hurt me, bring the pain. You wanna give it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. Shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's possible, I can't see it, no. Getting closer, can you read my mind? My thoughts are dirty like a shot without a line. Can you taste it? My sweat rolling low. Can you feel it? My body on the floor. I got fever, da da. I need ya, I got fire running through. Shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's possible, I can't see it. No, wanna give it, but can you take it? Baby, shake it, but don't break it. I know that you're dangerous when you're naked. It's possible, I can't see it. No, shake your body rough, move your hips low. You make me crazy, but you just don't know.
headphones.
Look back there. The cord goes that way.
Nope, don't see him. I don't see him.
They're on the wall.
Okay.
Nothing like a falsetto gem in there to end a music set.
He's such a classic.
Klaus Nome.
Mm-hmm.
With Lightning Strike. Or if you read what I wrote on here, Lightning Strikes.
I see.
The damn computer keeps screwing up. It's not...
Oh, yeah, it's a computer. Yeah, it's computer's computer's.
And we can't take Jimmy anywhere.
Oh, that was nice.
Hey, you know, Jimmy, if you're going to start doing that kind of stuff, you ought to at least drink.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway.
Here's the first one to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Klaus Nome, Lightning Strikes. Before that was Jim Verivos.
If you can find a Klaus Nome album, get it.
That's Klaus.
Because he died very early in the AIDS epidemic.
Last name is N-O-M-I.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Verivos, You're Getting Crazy. Before that, Naked Highway, Better Off Naked. Houston Bernard, Mama Lets Her Hair Down.
Mm.
Scissor Sisters, I played the wrong one.
Oh.
I didn't count right.
No.
Yeah, just stop it all into his lap.
Move your can.
That's not the first time.
Move my can?
Your can of Coke.
Oh.
Jeez.
Thank you.
Somebody's a grumpy bear.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Scissor Sisters, Music is the Victim. I was trying to play something else.
Oh.
But counted wrong.
Oh, see?
Yeah, they don't have the numbers next to it, so I counted down.
Oh, I know. I hate that.
I was trying to play Filthy Gorgeous.
Yeah, I like that one.
And ended up playing Music is the Victim.
Oh, well.
So, played something there. And started off that music set with two songs by Mark Allen Smith.
Yeah.
And they're not the two that I ones I usually play.
What did you play?
I played I Got You, Babe,
mm-hmm.
and Half Breed.
Oh.
Because Cher is once again tweeting her way into the news right now.
Everybody on the back thought you were really playing Cher.
No, that was a drag queen from Dallas.
I knew it wasn't Cher.
Yeah, because I don't think we have a Cher CD in this station.
I was wondering, yeah.
But no, that was, you know, Cher has been getting a lot of tweet news lately.
How come?
Well, last month it was taking on Michelle Bachman and her husband.
Yeah.
For their anti-gay stances. And this week, it's her defense of her son, Chaz.
Oh.
Chaz was recently named to the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
And there's been a lot of controversy about it with having a transgendered person on the show.
Oh.
And, you know, they've tried to be, you know, there's some people who aren't subtle enough, and they will actually say, you know, it's because of this abomination on the show.
That yeah, whatever.
No, the true abomination, if you want to go for that, is going to be Cross and Chrisley.
Oh,
ouch.
Oh, my.
But so there's been a lot of this controversy about it, and we're, you know, people are already saying about boycotting the show. Not, you know, they're not going to turn on until Chaz is kicked off the show.
Oh, brother.
And
grow up, people.
And, you know, Cher has come to her son's defense.
Good for her.
Taken to the tweets and using her Twitter account and
mm-hmm.
telling people there. It's, you know, it's an interesting little debate on that. So I found a couple of, you know, songs, Cher songs that were done by someone in our community, definitely. So I
mm-hmm.
Rule number one, never piss off mama.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number two, when in doubt, go back to rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an interesting part on that. So I figured I had to pay tribute on that.
Did you get that email that's talking about how Bill Clinton is backing Bachman?
That was a, I think, it was, I haven't really looked into that. I believe it's a joke one about.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's about how well she was able to handle that corn dog at Iowa State Fair.
It was a sausage, and it was like a 12-inch sausage, and she was shoving it in her mouth.
Wow.
I did not.
Well, then.
I did not impale that train turn.
Oh, my. Oh.
But then again, Rick Perry did his own good job on a corn dog or a sausage on a stick up there at Iowa.
Mm.
I think it had to be a corn dog because everything on those at the State Fair stuff is fried.
Fried Milky Ways.
Yeah. No, the big thing at the Iowa State Fair this year was a fried butter.
Yes. Oh, my God. Can you imagine fried butter?
I can hear everybody's arteries hardening right now.
Every artery in my body is hardening as we speak.
Technically, by the time you ate it, there was really the butter was gone.
Yeah, it was all mixed with the. Melted into the butter, the batter, or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was basically like a pancake batter. They put on an eighth of a stick of butter, and then fried it. So then the butter melted into the.
So all you needed then was some syrup to go with it.
Mm. Okay, I love my KFC like the next person, but ew.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
That's what the state fairs are all about. What can we fry next? I mean,
the last.
You know, I thought the chicken fried bacon. There was part of me going, "Oh God, this is so good." The other part of me going, "Oh, this would be so bad." But it was really good.
Chicken fried bacon.
The last time I saw that much grease, it was on the tables at Charlie's. Slide right off of those things.
Actually,
I was going to say it was in
the dark room at Midtown.
Oh,
that too. Yeah, there we go.
Oh.
Fist one, pearl two.
Oh. Alrighty then.
You killed Bobby on that one.
Ooh.
Gee, I thought the rude stuff was going to come when I hit round table.
And we're not even there yet.
No.
Yeah, we didn't get our usual snarky time at the beginning of the show.
That must be it.
So this is the official snarky time.
Yeah, we were all nice and happy at the beginning of the show.
Well. It was raining for a change. We didn't know what the hell was going on.
Oh, I know it.
It actually feels really nice outside right now.
It's wonderful.
It's like a nice 76 degrees out there.
Those roads are still slick, folks, and don't be foolish.
As one of my best friends would say, okay, people, don't panic. That's rain.
I know. I know.
Yeah. I can't believe how many people I actually see on the freeways when I'm driving around when it rains. That don't know how to drive.
Anymore. I know it. I know.
Five drops in the entire city and they don't know, and they're over the place.
Yeah, five drops fall and everybody slows down 15 miles an hour on the freeway.
Yeah.
Or some don't and should.
Or should and should.
Yeah, just wait till you see some real snow around here and people, you know, going 5 miles an hour with their hazard lights flashing.
Mm-hmm.
With 12-inch snowmen on their roof.
Yeah, on the hood of their car or on the roof, yeah. There was that one picture when we had the snow of the three snowmen on the hood of that car.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of cute.
That was cute.
As I haven't seen that much snow in the city ever until that moment. I mean,
to get those size snowmen, you had to scrape the snow off of the front of your car, the back of your car,
mm-hmm. and half the street.
Car,
yeah.
And scrape down your freezer.
Don't forget, shovel whatever's on the sidewalk,
yeah.
Just to get that much.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, we have people looking to the tropics, hoping this. You know, everyone's watching Katia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, could it? Then all of a sudden, Lee popped out of nowhere.
And did.
And mm-hmm. Last I saw, he was still kind of hanging out over, hasn't made landfall yet.
Where is he supposed to land?
New Orleans.
He hasn't landed yet?
No, I thought he had.
How come we had the rain then? What's this rain that we've had?
I think he's made landfall.
He
he's
must just sort have. Of,
I mean, but the thing is, he's only moving 2 miles an hour.
Oh.
2 miles an hour.
Well,
they could be getting rain for weeks at that speed.
Yeah, that's right.
We could use it.
I know, but we're not getting it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's pretty bad when people start, you know, praying for hurricanes and tropical storms to hit Houston.
I know. And I've heard that from people.
Which, you know, it's a bad thing because
yeah.
with the ground as compact as it's going to be, we need a good soaking for a while to soften up the ground so we don't have.
And I know for a fact the gods have a sense of humor, and it's a twisted one.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get it, and we'd be up to our
yes
collective parts. In
with our luck, what we would do is we'll get us, you know, Allison Jr.
Joy, because that was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was living on West Alabama then.
Mm.
There was a river on West Alabama.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, that was, you know, it wasn't the fact that the storm coming through. It's the fact that the storm came in and stalled, like in Huntsville, and the feeder bands went right through downtown Houston, just kept dragging the Gulf of Mexico right up I-45.
I'm amazed at how.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was just, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a slow-moving tropical storm Lee turned towards the Gulf Coast Saturday, dumping heavy rains over the southern parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Texas is still screwed.
Was that a Chris commentary, or was that actually on there?
No, that was a Chris commentary.
I still, those three people going up West Alabama, I'm like, apparently you guys don't understand those things that are in the middle of the street every few blocks. They're called manhole covers.
Mm.
Water can float those too if it tries hard enough.
Oh yeah.
And you will be doing the luge down the sewer system.
Let's see.
You are done.
I still remember crossing the Rio Westheimer.
yeah.
I like that one. That was good.
The Rio style. Yeah.
Let's see here.
It was knee deep, and I went over, you know, to the old community center.
Let's see.
You know, we have bad storms, and Montrose and Westheimer is frailed no matter what. Whether the rain, it's rained there and it's flooded, or it's after the rain and there's no electricity.
Yeah.
And people don't know how to drive at that intersection.
Mm. Let's see. It looks like there's four tropical storms or depressions out there right now.
Ooh.
Tropical storm Katia, tropical storm Lee, tropical depression Talus, and yeah, that's over in the western Pacific.
That's in the
Tropical storm 16 over in the western Pacific also.
Yeah, those are in the Pacific. Now, a year or two.
16?
16.
Yes.
Yeah, it comes tropical storm is when they name it. But I remember it was a year or two ago, we actually had one of those tropical storms that started in the Pacific, crossed Mexico, and came into the Gulf of Mexico and re-strengthened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we announced it was the first, as far as we knew, the first transgendered hurricane. When it changed over to the Atlantic naming convention, it went from a male to a female.
Oh.
So we called it a transgendered storm.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. Let's see here.
So, what have we got?
No kind of rain.
And that takes some doing to cross all that and still hold it together as a.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember the night that Jimmy and I were here for Rita. Doing.
Oh my God.
What was it, an 8-hour show? We did 8 hours.
I really wish
an 8-hour show.
Yeah, well, because we were here and nobody could get here. And
well, no, because we knew we were going to be doing an 8-hour show because the show, Lita Bala, who was before us.
No, after us.
After us. And whoever was before us were in the evacuation zone, so they had
to leave the city. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So we knew we were going to be here for the long haul.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, we did an 8-hour show giving, you know, trying to give radar reports.
So did it rain in this city?
What, for Rita?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some rain.
I was just wondering, because I'm sorry, I was in the middle of 45 taking 13 and a half hours to go a 2-hour trip.
Most people did that.
Yeah.
I stayed
never
here.
Again.
No.
I don't
no.
care if there's a Cat 5 coming directly for my building with a vendetta.
Don't you remember what was it that scared, that moved Rita off away from us?
Ooh.
It's that KPFT News sent Smiley down to Galveston, that, and even Rita didn't want to deal with him.
That's mean. Poor Smiley.
But oh, so there's possibly a, true.
There went those crickets again over in the corner.
Oh, I've been saying that joke since
I know.
Happened.
I know. I like Smiley.
That makes one of us.
I know.
And I'm the mean one?
Yes, you are. Don't want to try to act all innocent with us. We know better.
So what's this thing out here?
That's rain.
Wow.
Well, that's right off. I mean, that's close to us, isn't
you know,
it?
Yeah, that's off of Galveston, but, you know, it's
you know, Jimmy,
out there.
When you use a phrase like that, and the people on this side of the window can't see.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering what the hell was going on over there.
There's a yellow and red glob in the water right near Houston.
Yellow and red glob. That sounds like that needs medical attention.
Do they make an antibiotic for that?
No, but there is an ointment. that's one of the bands of... From Lee, that's out there.
Well, you
it's
know,
it's kind of like a connecting Houston over to about New Orleans.
Mm. And not asking much, a token, really, a trifle.
Yeah, no.
Enough rain to break a drought. That's without drowning us.
Well, I know one thing I want to ask for. How about some PSAs?
Oh, is it that time?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's getting there, isn't it?
10 seconds.
What time does your clock say?
2:57.
You're playing them at 2:58.
Oh, well. Now it says 2:58.
No.
One of them says 2:58, the other one says 2:57.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one up here.
Okay, I got 2:57, 26 here.
Oh, that's weird.
29 here.
Yeah, these two clocks are never the same.
That's odd.
They're like always off.
Let's check the time in Denver, which says it's 37 seconds.
Okay.
There you go.
That's the atomic clock.
Got it. Ooh.
All right, the hell. Well, let's go to our PSAs and top of the hour stuff and see if anyone's going to come in for roundtable discussions tonight. We have a couple of porn stories.
Ooh.
A couple of Grindr stories.
What's a Grindr story?
Well,
I'll show them.
Yeah, Grindr is a.
I'll show them.
Is an application on Apple products where you can find. So you can search for guys who are looking for hookups.
Oh, okay.
I'll show them.
And a couple other things. So let's do our PSAs. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. 10 years after the tragedy of 9/11, Pacifica Radio will present a national broadcast featuring special programming from each Pacifica radio station and the archives that examines its impact on American society. We invite you, the listener, to be part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Hour by including your voice along with those of Stephen Rohde, Howard Zinn, Maxine Waters, June Jordan, Bertrand Russell, Jermaine Greer, and many others. Tell us about how you heard about the attack, what you did, how you feel 10 years later, or perhaps you heard something on Pacifica Radio that was extraordinary. The subject is wide open. Call us at 1-800-735-0230. We want to hear how 9/11 changed your life or your worldview. These will be part of the commemoration broadcast on September 11th, 2011. The message number again is 1-800-735-0230.
Nothing on your Outlook calendar for Saturday, September 17th? Well, consider scheduling a task with high priority. That would be attending the Deadbeat Ball. Unlike a soccer or a football, you don't kick this ball. You just show up and meet friends, enjoy a cool beverage, and dance to Big Al Bettis, Los Vertigos, Matt Harlan, Jack Saunders, the Tony Vega Band, the Leo Trio, and the Hightailers, all while supporting KPFT. The Deadbeat Ball happens at the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nance Street, just off the Hardy the key exit on I-10. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the music will jam all night. It's $15 for one, $25 for two, and 100% of the door proceeds go to benefit KPFT. It's not a cue ball nor a baseball. It's a deadbeat ball. So get out that laptop, open up office, and schedule your time as busy on Saturday, September 17th. No laptop? Write a reminder on the palm of your hand. The deadbeat ball is a great way to support listener sponsor Community Radio, KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. They get me with that 90.3 in the middle of that.
And you almost got it in one breath.
Did it twice tonight.
So yep, far. You did. That's amazing.
Well, you know, like the old song is, two out of three ain't bad.
is it that time already?
Yeah, I need to smack a little music in and see who's going to show up in here.
Where the hell are they? They
ought to know the schedule now.
They're busy being all touchy-feely. And that's okay.
Makes me want to play Touch to Touch It, then.
Yeah.
Go for it. Do it.
All right, hold on. I gotta get up.
Oh my God. Okay.
which is a hell of an experience for any of us.
Well, Touch of Touch is from Rocky Horror. Yes, since we're going next week,
yes,
next Friday, if anybody else wants to hang out there,
I wouldn't mind going myself, but you know, I don't think I'm gonna have the cash for it.
It's so. Been we're good. 15 years since the last time I saw it on a stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember,
it is not the movie that they are performing. Yes. It is the actual play.
Yeah.
This is not the sanitized for your protection movie version.
So we get one person. Where the hell is everybody else?
That's not a person.
That's Jose.
Jose on a steak.
Ooh.
He wishes he was on a steak.
Jose.
On a steak.
Yes.
Sit.
All right, since everyone on the back patio who's not listening to the show is getting all touchy-touchy, we're going to play the little touchy-touchy. Oh, and my goodness, look at this. Look at the performer on this, because I grabbed the
Rocky
Rocky Horror Punk.
Oh.
Punk rock show.
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
So who's doing that one?
Gee, how appropriate for me to be playing this. Where the hell, which one am I got in there? Oh, time to play the Chubbies with Toucha Toucha Toucha.
The Chubbies.
Hello, Chub.
He's a little bit slow on the uptake on that one.
I have nothing to say.
Note to time, music.
I was feeling down.
Yeah.
why that ended abruptly.
Yes, it certainly did.
Why it did. It did, it did, it did.
Hey, look, I can turn the mic on again, and it turns off. The bad part is I'm sitting here turning up the studio speakers, like, I can't hear the damn song, I can't hear the damn song. I'm going,
well,
that's because the side mic is still on.
Wow.
Oops. we're talking and...
Talking and talking and talking and talking.
It's time now for the world infamous roundtable.
Woo! World famous, yes.
Infamous.
Notorious.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
There's a little button here. A couple of porn stories to start with, because
porn.
Like to do.
That's what the internet is for, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Once again, the porn industry is shut down in Los Angeles.
Oh my!
An adult film performer has tested positive, prompting a temporary shutdown of the adult film productions across LA until further testing can confirm the results, an industry trade group said. Until we know for sure, we've asked the industry for it to have a moratorium on production, said Diane Duke, executive director of Free Speech Coalition, a porn industry trade group. That's you that's breathing heavy if you're trying to figure that out.
No, I was seeing who else was in there.
Duke became aware of the possible HIV case on Saturday, according to a statement released to the porn industry media. Duke would not say how her group learned about the possible HIV case. She says she notified adult film production companies across the San Fernando Valley on Monday morning that a performer had tested positive and urged them to temporarily halt production until further tests were completed. Duke said company officials spoke with, including those well-known studios such as Hustler and Evil Angel, and they agreed to the temporary shutdown. They would not release the performer's name, age, or gender, saying further testing would likely be completed within a week. Her group will not only notify performers who had sex with a potentially infected person so they can get tested. Retesting and confirmation is underway as the process of identifying and testing first and second generation partners, referring to those who had sex with a person who tested HIV positive. This is all coming on the heels of a measure that's going to be placed on June 2012 ballot in Los Angeles that would require adult film performers to use condoms in porn productions that seek Los Angeles City film permits. The backers, they're still working on getting that on the ballot. Backers of the ballot measure must submit a petition with at least 41,138 qualifying signatures by December 31st to have the proposal put on the ballot. This will be the first time that voters will be asked to weigh in on this issue.
December 23rd.
Sir, what did I say?
31st.
Same difference.
We don't live there, do we?
Not like anybody in LA is listening, I'm sure. I don't know.
You never know.
So, yeah,
it's good for the industry.
Huh?
Yeah.
Good for the industry.
Yes.
Well, the one thing, the first statement that was made when that was, is that a lot of the film company, porn companies, might end up leaving the Los Angeles area.
Can we discuss
that?
Rather
than to comply with the ordinance.
I hate to be a fly in the ointment of all that, but I really think that's not a bad idea. Everywhere.
Right.
That should be like a blanket step. I mean, because, you know, they'll never regulate porn out of business. It's not going to happen.
Obviously.
So I think that it should be the condom thing should be a rule everywhere.
Actually, I think what we talked about before was the fact it wasn't a city ordinance they were talking about. It was the California Department of OSHA that was talking about making condoms mandatory. Because of the fact that they were basically their employees were at risk of handling hazardous material and needed to have, you know, standardized protection for that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's a different way of thinking of things.
Yeah.
That's your biohazard suit.
Go after it from a different angle.
I don't know about. Know. Well, anyway, never mind.
Yeah, that's only the main way it's hazardous is, you know, they
get a glove and a hazmat. Yeah. We're getting rid of the condoms.
It's moon suit sex.
Oh my.
I've seen stranger stuff.
Barbarella.
Sure you have.
Please enter the airlock. Decontamination complete. Hold on, I can't move my robot. The robot arm isn't grabbing.
Well, there's the difference. Oh, robot my. Arm, there's the difference between pink and purple.
Oh,
ouch. Ow, 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 too hard, too hard. Jeez. Yeah, I've seen the woman from the Andromeda Strain there with the robot. I'm going, yeah, I'm going to get you up. Harder, harder.
Now, this next porn story shows to the great lengths that Queerty.com will go to their investigative journalism.
Ooh.
Those things just don't sound like they add up. But
this weekend, Libyan rebels raided the mansion belonging to Muammar Gaddafi's 38-year-old son, al-Sayed. Apart from al-Sayed's guild handling toothbrush, yacht, and car catalogs, and diesel jeans, the rebels also claimed to find a gay porn DVD entitled Boys Tracks. But in all likelihood, this is a lie. First off, we've been searching for any mention of this DVD's existence outside of the al-Sayed story, and we've yet to come up with a single hit. Second, the story comes from rebels who wanted to discredit the Gaddafi regime, and what better way to do that than claiming that Gaddafi's own son broke both Libyan and Islamic laws forbidding homosexual activity.
Yeah.
The use of boys, B-O-Y-Z, in the title also paints al-Sayed as a potential pedophile, if not simply a lover of pubescent twinks. And lastly, as all porn lovers we know have tons and tons of DVDs, not just one.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, looting a few of those in the rebels might have been in the closet, took a few with them without mentioning it.
Yeah, that's possible too.
Anything's possible.
When's the last time you met a gay porn fan who owned just one JPEG or one AVI file?
Right. Is that the son with the longish hair and who often is seen wearing a very shiny suit?
No.
Okay.
No, this is the older one.
Because there's at least one who I peg as family because of the way he dresses.
Doesn't always mean anything, but you never know.
Unless al-Sayed took the rest of his twink porn while fleeing the palace, the story is probably bunk.
It's not mine.
Maybe it was the one he left.
It's maybe, not mine, but you're in it.
He just didn't have time to get them all out of the building.
Usually
maybe that one had a scratch on it.
Well, usually when you discover that one, it's because he left it in the DVD player.
Right.
Yeah. This one fell out of one of his car catalogs. Mm. Basically, I guess he was looking for a different type of gear shift.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, probably so.
Zoom tight.
really, you don't say.
Bless you. Not really.
Two stories here from the transgender world, and the one I'm going to do first here. The reason why this one hit me as much was watching. I go to the Drudge Report to get a lot of stories because, of course, they're being not exactly friendly with our community. They're going to cover a lot of the stories that affect our community, but in a negative light.
Yes.
Always.
Let me get the actual quote here on how. Now, for those of you who don't know what Drudge Report is, it's basically a link website where they put up a little a link to a story, and they sometimes will write this little headline for you to go to it. Now, they usually aren't as cutesy as
the Daily Rotten's
ones do, but they do like to take things, make things look in the absolute worst light that they could.
Of course.
And sometimes I've clicked on one of those and going, okay, I don't see any mention of what they talked about on the article, the link part to it. But come on. The way the Drudge Report listed this article title was Survey Says
Ding.
God, I don't know if it's a computer or the internet or both.
Yes.
Well, none of us could get on the
internet tonight.
Internet
at all.
Earlier.
Yeah.
And it was
the packet stopped receiving.
You broke it.
That sounds nodding. I hate it when you can't receive your packet. but the way they listed this was drunk cop opens fire on trannies.
Nice
one.
Oh, subtle. Boy.
Yeah, subtle on that one. A Washington, D.C. police officer accused of drunkenly shooting at transgendered people has been punished at least twice before for alcohol-related incidents, records and sources say. Charges Charging documents released Monday described how Kenneth Furr crashed his Cadillac into another vehicle early Friday morning, stood on the hood of the victim's vehicle and shouted, "I'm going to kill all of you." There were five people in the other vehicle, police said. One person suffered multiple gunshot wounds to the arm and hand. The other two were hurt. Two others were hurt in the attack. Police say Furr, a 20-year veteran, blew a 0.15 on the blood alcohol machine. Nearly twice the legal limit.
Oh.
He remained held on charges of DWI and assault with a deadly weapon. His first court appearance is scheduled for Tuesday.
What about attempted murder?
Not that yet.
Not yet.
He's been segregated from other prisoners. Furr's attorney said he could not comment about the case or Officer Furr, who police say is on paid leave. According to charging documents, Furr got into an argument with several transgendered people outside of CVS. On Friday morning, he pulled a gun on one of the victims and reported an incident to an off-duty D.C. police officer working security at the pharmacy. The CVS officer determined that Furr was an off-duty officer and therefore no further action was necessary. The victims later saw Furr driving his Cadillac and followed him in their car. Furr got out of his vehicle, pointed the gun at the driver, and the sequence of events that followed The sequence of events that followed is unclear.
What?
That's what threw me. They duplicated here. Patrol officers nearby said they heard the cars crash and rapid gunfire. The victims say Furr fired first and then the car struck. Officers found Furr standing on the hood, pointing his off-duty service weapon at the windshield. Police recovered five shell casings that matched the weapon. A spokeswoman said they should not comment on whether police are looking to see if Furr might be connected to two other earlier morning shootings of transgender people in the Northeast Washington earlier this summer. He was arrested in 2004 for driving while intoxicated and operating while impaired. According to court records, he pled no contest and the charges were dropped after he completed a diversion program. He was suspended for somewhere between 30 and 90 days for that. On Christmas Day in 96, Furr and another officer were on duty when they got into a drunken argument with a mother and son. They placed him on administrative leave and tried to fire him, but was reinstated in 1998 after a change in police chiefs.
Apparently the diversion didn't work.
Mm-hmm. First of all,
New York's finest.
The man
no,
should
DC.
Be...
DC.
DC?
Yeah.
The man should be collecting unemployment. And then, those who employ him should give him a referral to a grand jury.
Not gonna happen, though.
And moron.
The cop.
Now it's New York. Now it's New York time to talk about transgender.
There was another thing that happened in Houston, too, about a transgender who was a elderly assistant, and they treated him absolutely horrible. I just caught bits and pieces of it. I just haven't had a chance to look it up.
New York fireman Taylor Murphy was previously known as the hunky stud who posed as Mr. March in the 2011 New York City firefighter calendar. That's him here on the left, Jimmy.
Yes, I could tell.
Well, it's hard to tell because of...
His eyesight hasn't gotten that bad yet.
Yeah, he does have a bigger rack than his victim on the side there. But now he's better known for abusing his trans girlfriend, Claudia Cherise, who has previously made it to the semifinals on America's Next Top Model.
Oh, nice.
After an incident at a Midtown strip club, Flashdancers, Murphy, 28, attacked Cherise in a jealous rage, shattering her cell phone and dragging her down the street by her hair.
Ooh.
He pinned me into a telephone booth and strangled me, then let go and started crying, said Cherise, who broke free and ran home, only to find Murphy waiting for her there.
Oh, my God.
According to police, he attacked her again, punching, biting, kicking, and choking her until she ran for safety. I told him to leave and I didn't want to see him again, she said. I sent him off and he slammed me into the bed and strangled me again with so much force. As if the violent assault wasn't enough, Cherise got assaulted again on Friday, this time in the print media from the New York Post, referring to her as Murphy's, quote, transsexual gal pal, in a story bearing the headline, quote, fireman busted after violently, quote, beating, unquote, tranny pal. Those ironic quotation marks are theirs, by the way, because obviously choking and kicking really isn't beating someone if the victim is transgendered.
Right.
Well, it is a Murdoch paper.
The Daily News, however, handled the story in a much more straightforward manner. Not surprisingly, GLAAD has issued a tepid reprimand to Rupert Murdoch's favorite birdcage liner. But we don't think that's nearly enough.
That's what it says.
I'm sorry. Did I mention queerty commentary?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
But we don't think it's nearly enough. Someone ought to get those ticked off trainees with knives to march over to News Corp offices on 40th Street.
Mm-hmm. QWERTY commentary, yeah, Chris commentary. It's kind of run hand in hand.
I think it's interesting that she didn't give as good as she got, you know. The great majority of the trans folks I've known may now be women, but they
he's very buff. Like I said, he's got a better rack than she does.
Yeah, that's scary.
He's a bodybuilder.
His picture there has him with, you know, I would say at least a 65-pound dumbbell he's holding.
Sure.
In his hand, very muscular. And she was. Nope. She's not a shrieking violet herself, but. Like I said, the interesting thing is the fact that here are two, the Drudge Report using mm-hmm. the phrase, using that kind of a headline, and same thing now with the New York Post.
I never heard of OutServe magazine.
Well, it's a new magazine coming out. That's the next story here. The publishers of OutServe magazine have received permission to distribute their gay-oriented title on Army and Air Force bases beginning next month.
About Halloween's.
Wow.
Hmm. Huh?
No, not the Marines?
No, they get different magazines.
I bet they do.
They get the naval issue.
OutServe magazine will...
How about the Navy?
I know.
I was waiting.
I thought you'd bring it up.
You're over there screaming, what about the Marines?
Well, then you should have said, what about the Navy? Being an ex-Navy guy.
You're never an ex-Navy.
He's a former seaman.
Right?
You never ask anything when you're in the military.
Former and current.
Tell that.
Once in the military, always in the military.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are y'all done over there, you two Marys?
Oh, we're done.
Well done.
I'm baked at this point.
Stick a fork in them, then, John. Anyhow.
OutServe magazine will hit store shelves at the Army and Air Force bases on September 20th, the day the Pentagon plans to formally end enforcement of Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that bans gays from serving openly. The publication is published by OutServe, a group of secretly gay active duty service members, and it says it has hundreds of members currently serving in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh.
The magazine, which began publishing in the spring, is currently available in limited supply at some public meeting areas and military physicians' offices, the group says.
Wow. That's why we haven't heard of it.
Yeah. It's one of those little secret clandestine, you know.
It's a secret military thing.
It's a glossy gayzine.
It's a secret. If we tell you, we have to kill you.
We will hunt you down and we will kill you.
That's how it works. Yeah, their pinnings involve really big bars. It's not like the Louis pins.
Let's do this one here. This is one that actually Wes suggested here. The six worst excuses by anti-gay public figures caught doing allegedly gay things. Oh.
I thought it was quite cute and funny. This
Roberto Arango, which we'll be talking about later, isn't alone when anti-gay politicians, preachers, and activists are caught doing very gay things, such as having sex with men, let's say. They come up with some pretty dumb, albeit creative, excuses.
Or showing their anus on a Grindr, was it? Or one of those?
Yeah, it's one of our Grindr stories. It's not their fault, really. What kind of excuse wouldn't sound ludicrous in these situations? But at least they tried, damn it. At least they tried. This comes from New York Mag. The number six worst excuse, meth and massage.
Oh, yeah.
Mega church preacher Tag Hagar originally claimed that his relationship with a male prostitute, Mike Jones, was totally innocent. Jones merely had sold him meth and given him a massage.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, remember, also, he never took the meth. He bought the meth, and he threw it away.
But he got the penis massage.
The penis massage wasn't him. That was, that one.
That's on the list.
Yeah. The penis massage is number one.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes.
So, number five.
Threw the meth away and kept the pipe.
Innocent chit-chat. Indiana State lawmaker Phil Hinkle claims he doesn't know why he met an 18-year-old man in a hotel room recently after arranging the rendezvous on Craigslist.
He's got a claim dementia.
But the two merely talked about baseball and
old
The View.
Yeah.
Now,
hey, we're talking pitching and catching, I know.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar with this story.
Statistics.
Indiana State lawmaker Phil Hinkle responded to an ad in the, I'm going to guess, Casual Encounters or Men Seeking Men section of Craigslist from an alleged 20-year-old looking for a sugar daddy. In actuality, the 20-year-old turned out to be an 18-year-old.
Looking for a sugar daddy.
Looking for a sugar daddy.
Not a lawmaker.
Somehow the 2-year difference is lost on me as being all that important.
I know, but people are making it. They're pointing out this 18-year-old. This is the only part of Hinkle's defense I will argue is the fact that he assumed he was meeting a 20-year-old.
Ask you me.
He picked him up, took him to a hotel. And for some reason, Hinkle decided to tell him that, yes, I'm a lawmaker. Here's my ID to show you that I'm actually a member of the Indiana State House. And the kid freaked out and wanted to go home. And the guy, according to the 18-year-old, you know, gave him a BlackBerry of iPad, all, you know, offered $10,000 to, you know, be quiet about it.
Hush money.
According to Hinkle, he was blackmailed into paying $10,000, and when he went to the bathroom, that the kid stole the BlackBerry and the iPad, and he returned the iPad and kept the BlackBerry. And said, "You know, if that's all he's going to take, then that's fine." Yeah, so
I don't buy it for a minute.
Whatever.
Alrighty.
Sounds like a weird.
You know,
BlackBerry's not worth.
I'm sorry, but you know, if you're going to claim you're straight, don't be going on Craigslist.
And if you're looking for a sugar daddy, make sure he's not old enough to be your grandpa.
Yes.
Just saying.
Number four, wide stance.
Oh, we know where this is going.
Former Idaho Senator Larry Craig famously blamed a wide stance for inadvertently signaling to his next-door stall neighbor, who turned out to be a police officer, that he wanted to engage in some bathroom sex. In reality, Craig's exact phrase is that he is a wide guy, which may actually be an even worse excuse than having a wide stance.
Okay, just, I have a wide stance in a bathroom, but I have spina bifida. I have a reason.
Once again, backstory on this, but if you don't remember, Senator Craig was in the Minneapolis airport bathroom.
He was caught tap dancing.
And supposedly was tapping out the Morse code to give it to me, baby.
Just one more time.
His argument was that he has a wide stance when sitting upon the throne, and that's why his foot touched
wide enough to touch the other foot of the person next to him. Okay, I got you.
Right.
And up his pant leg, and oh,
well, that's Jose's excuse every time.
That's the.
Never mind.
No denial. I was right.
We all know what happens in the bathroom of your store.
What are you talking about?
They didn't remodel, they burned it.
Yeah, they gutted that sucker.
They had to.
And somebody's already gone back in there and put Jose's phone number in there.
Yeah, wrong Jose. I'm Jose B, remember?
Anyhow.
And see, indeed.
Yeah, whatever, let's go.
The most recent story that's coming to light is documenting weight loss. After nude photos of Puerto Rican Senator Roberto Arango showed up on a gay networking app Grindr, Arango explained, "You know, I've been losing weight, and as I shed that weight, I've been taking pictures." Arango must have lost a lot of weight in his anus because it's featured in one of the photos.
So his picture made him look like an ass.
Chirp, chirp. Where are the crickets? I hear crickets.
And we have
you
a follow-up.
Show us what an a-hole he
was. Anybody
in
the room? Hello.
We've got a follow-up on that coming up here in a little bit.
Oh, boy.
I'm good.
Number two, black people. Florida State Representative Bob Allen claimed that the only reason he agreed to blow an undercover cop and pay him $20 is because the cop was, quote, pretty stocky black guy, unquote. There was nothing but black guys around the park. And Allen was afraid he was about to become a statistic. Apparently being a horrible racist is way better than being gay.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own standard.
Well, yeah, that way you don't have to have the designer sheets on your Klan robe.
Well, there you go. Say Calvin Klein on the tag on the back.
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Of course. Because they are linen, of course.
Don't expect them to use Egyptian cotton, do you?
Oh, no.
300 count.
300 count.
300 count.
Is that like 600 count? What is that? 300 count.
Yeah, they either bought it off the side of the road or at Walgreens. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this. Walgreens is a wonderful store, but, you know, when it comes to buying the fancy sheets, I don't think I'm going to Walgreens.
Yeah, no.
No.
I may be buying my socks there, but I'm not buying my sheet set.
I'm a little disturbed that you can buy wine there now. That's just...
And beer.
Yeah. It's just a little disturbing.
Wine, beer, condoms, whatever.
And their own brand of beer.
And their own brand of beer.
Because
that's got to be special.
It doesn't say Walgreens. I forget what it is. It's the one that's sitting out in the aisle. It's got the picture of the water wheel on the side of the stream and all that. It's their brand of beer.
As long as it isn't dialed in a cup or a horse.
I didn't know they had their own brand.
Maybe because it tastes like
wine. I had to try it.
I don't drink, so I don't know.
Number one.
We're already up to number one. Damn,
cool. Worst excuse for gay politicians. Luggage help.
Oh yes. This moron.
George Reekers. The vehemently anti-gay activist and co-founder of the Family Research Council insisted he brought a male escort on his trip to Spain because he had surgery and couldn't lift his luggage. So he had done what everyone else looking for luggage help done. He went to rentboy.com and hired somebody with, quote, a perfectly built 8-inch cock.
And he wasn't talking about a rooster, apparently.
Because the boy is going to so lift the luggage with that part of his anatomy. And if he can, I live at... No.
if you can carry some guy's Samsonite up...
If you can carry the Samsonite with your Samson...
Johnson. Then on behalf of Wes, where the hell were you last week? Because he could have used your help.
Exactly.
Yes.
For those of you who don't remember that story, guy who was paid thousands of dollars by the state of Florida to testify of why homosexuals make bad parents and teachers and just bad people in there, went on a trip to Spain and hired some guy off of rentboy.com to help carry his luggage, and also because with having the recent surgery on his back, he needed massages. Now, these massages were on the back and on the front. Apparently, there was no happy ending, but...
So he says.
This involved the rent boy, when interviewed about this, said it was a very specialized massage that he gave that involved basically starting with the hand and going up rubbing the entire length of his arm along the phallus, which either will cost you $200 or a 4-week vacation from the radio station.
Okay, I can go with that.
Yeah. Oh boy.
All right.
Here we go again. On our anniversary.
Is it our anniversary?
In a couple of days.
24 years this week.
Well, by the time they find out about it and figure it out there, I've always thought the coolest thing is having your birth date and death date on the same day.
Great.
gee, that and 9/11 coming up.
Coincidence?
I think not.
Okay.
Well, so
on the story you just, on the, you know, the update on that,
I'm sorry, but if you're going to be a self-loathing closet case, just shut up and stay out of the news and go on with your life. Do not get on the news with some boy toy and make and out yourself, because guess what? At that point, we don't want you on our team.
Well, you know, it's all politicians. It's all about homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And also, these politicians have been instrumental in knocking down gay rights. Gay rights.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the biggest part and about
that's
it.
That's it right there. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hello, you're a closet case, and you're knocking down everybody else's right to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss my queer tookus.
That's not what you wanted to say.
No, it's not.
I have to send the link to this actually to Tim Brookover, who already commented on it with on the Facebook posting where I put what's on the roundtable discussion tonight.
I'm afraid to ask what he had to say on the topic.
He thought this was a rock band, a new product called God Hates Bags.
No.
According to Westboro Baptist, first of all, I guess I ought to warn people here. There may be some unicorn booty commentary in here. According to Westboro Baptist Church, God hates a lot of stuff. But did you know that God is also an avid environmentalist? It's true. God hates plastic bags. At least that's the funny take on Westboro's hateful slogan that LGBT outfitter Revel and Riot is adopting on their line of bags. Revel and Riot is a company that's main objective is promoting rights and equality in the LGBT community. So here's what the site says about their new take on an old and tired slogan. They show these bags. Either it's a white bag with a black square with white lettering that says God hates bags, or it's the reverse. According to Fred Phelps, pastor of Westboro Baptist Church, God hates a lot of stuff. Phelps and his followers, who are also his relatives, say that God mostly hates fags, but he also hates America, Sweden, Canada, Jews, and school plays. One look at the WBC's picket signs would suggest that God also hates a good graphic design. So why shouldn't we assume that God also hates bags? With God Hates Bags, we ridicule the horrible and hateful Westboro Baptist Church by his famous rallying cry, and encourage people to stop using plastic bags. Unicorn Booty thinks it's a great idea. Taking this awful slogan and turning it into something funny is just what we need when the Westboro fools come around spouting their hate. All these bags are pretty kick-ass. They don't... next part's commercial stuff, so I'm going to stop on that part. But like I said, these are the big reusable bags that you can...
Yeah.
Put your groceries in, and like I said, it's just big phrases as God hates bags.
That's funny.
Hates school plays, huh? I was a little stuck on that one for just a second, because, you know, most parents hate school plays,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really.
Unless you're a stage mother. What it is the different schools, whether it's either high school or college, who do performances of either... the Laramie Project or Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he protests both of those. So
yeah, somebody really needs to tell him to crawl into a hole, because from the look of
he's a big old fag himself. Nobody protests that much, and they're not a fag.
He thinks thou dost protest too much.
Put your face back in the pillow, honey. I don't want to hear the rest of the night.
Yes, please put his face in a pillow. Or put a pillow over his
face.
For
about 5 minutes. Tightly.
Should cover it. At his age, it couldn't take that long.
Yes, but then you get his daughter.
Oh.
Shirley is not much better.
Mm.
Okay.
But
her
Joy.
Son.
Yes.
Shirley's a four-bagger, huh?
Is the son the one who keeps apologizing for his
No,
son?
No. Okay. His son is. Shirley's son's the person I keep referring to as Isaiah.
Ah, okay.
You got to imagine how interesting my final story is going to be with the punchline when I make this not the final story.
Okay. I'm afraid.
From Hamilton, Ohio.
Very afraid.
What?
A repeat public indecency offender has been arrested for allegedly engaging in, quote, sexual activity, unquote, with a pink inflatable swimming pool raft, according to Hamilton Police.
Doesn't Edwin, he know there are flesh jacks out there?
Obviously not.
Is it Pee Wee Herman?
they're not tight enough. I was so disappointed.
Edwin Charles.
Maybe you should never mind.
Regatta, 32, was arrested at his Hammond Avenue home early Sunday after he was spotted in the act in an alley in the 1800 block of Howell Street behind a residence, police report says. A male witness who owns the raft and lived in the home near the alley told Hamilton Police Officer William Thacker. So Billy Thacker.
Thacker?
Thacker. He shouted at the suspect to stop. The suspect took the raft and fled, the report says. When police caught up with him, he admitted to the crime and begged for help, according to police, because it sprung a leak.
Well, that blows.
Fold it in half and hump the bubble. The defendant advised officers that he was doing it only because he has a problem and needs help. Please don't send him to prison, but send him to somewhere to get help.
Oh, brother.
Like the sporting goods store.
Yeah, really.
They have another raft.
I'm sure they have a very large raft section.
Joe Bergatta, who remains at a Hamilton City jail, has been arrested at least 5 times for similar offenses, most recently in 2008. Tobergata's grandmother, Linda, cried as she explained to a reporter Wednesday how the family has tried to seek mental care for her grandson over the years, but to no avail. He suffers from attention deficit disorder and has abused his medication in the past.
And apparently pool toys.
Well, there.
Well, at least he's putting on a rubber.
Safe sex?
He's using protection.
He has a lot of mental problems, and he's always has a fascination for plastic. That's just it. That's all of it. We never could get the proper care for Edwin. It's like nobody cares.
That's because nobody does. Except for those of us who will read this on the air.
Nobody's introduced him to the latex people.
Apparently.
Really?
Apparently. Boy for
those
Trojan.
Folks who love latex. don't give him any ideas. Just stick it in a thing of latex paint, thinking that'll work.
No.
Get him an inflated date sheep they've got over there.
Yeah.
Right. Now we're going to slide into the grinder stories here.
I'm sliding into the grinder, huh?
This is a follow-up here on...
The show often does.
Puerto Rican GOP territorial Senator Robert Arango has resigned after he was discovered showing his anus on the gay hookup site Grindr. Arango initially dismissed the revelation, saying that it was only uploading photos to show off his recent weight loss in his anus.
How come he spread his cheeks in the picture?
Because he wants us to see where he's been losing all the weight.
The simple reason is this. Because when you've gained a lot of weight and then you lose it, you get stretch marks. Explain that's why there was the stretch marks around his anus was because of the weight loss, not because of something else being forced in there.
So are they going to call the scandal a sphincter gate?
Cuyo gate. Cuyo gate.
Oh, okay.
Let's remember the man's name.
Now to the actual story they're quoted from. A Puerto Rican lawmaker has resigned following reports of explicit photos of him surfaced on an iPhone application for gays and bisexuals. The head of the U.S. Territory Senate announced Sunday. Senator Roberto Arango, a Republican who represents the capital of San Juan.
Gee, I'm shocked.
Presented his letter of resignation after a weekend meeting on Grindr. Oh. I'm free now for days.
Oh. I saw that picture you posted on your Facebook of...
It wasn't his face. Oh, oh, oh my. Oh, Jesus Grindr.
Yeah.
Let's see. Senate President Thomas Rivera Schatz did not release the lawmaker's letter, but he said the circumstances that led to the resignation are very lamentable. Local news media published photos from the application showing a man's nude upper body with a cell phone obscuring his face. Another photo showed the rear view of a nude man on his hands and knees. Another showed a fuzzy image of the face that seemed to match Arango's.
So is this a resume or an application?
You notice how all these politicians are Republicans?
I know.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
According to Joe My God source, Arango not only voted for a failed constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, he once mocked another legislature by squeezing a rubber duck at him on the Senate floor. In Puerto Rico, the Spanish word for duck means queer or faggot. Okay, the first comment on here is, do no pants make my anus look fat? And they just talked about baseball.
Baseball been very, very good to me.
And now, the final story I had to pick.
Oh, boy.
Just in time.
From the Daily Mail in England.
Oh, my God.
Story out of Russia. A cannibal has admitted to killing a man, then making sausages and meatballs from his corpse.
Ew.
He was so proud of his culinary achievements, including rib dishes, that he posted short video clips on the internet, according to police who removed the offensive footage. The 21-year-old who worked as a chef confessed to police in the Russian city of Umanovsk, saying that he had a strong desire to eat human flesh. He had used a gay dating website to lure his victim, age 32, to his flat, where he brutally knifed him to death before cutting off his head and feet. Investigator Fedor Bludnov said yesterday... How would you say that, Jimmy?
Bludnov.
The defendant wanted to try eating at least 10 people in the future. The accused stabbed the man a few times after having assured himself that the victim was dead. He cut up the body and ate him. The killer, named only as Ivan L., believed that the man would not be open to his contacts. So it would not be found. In his flat. Mr. Bludnov added that he has an extraordinary hatred for those of a different sexual orientation, but he was sure that such people would keep a secret about who they were meeting, and it would be harder to catch him. However, the 52-year-old mother of the dead man, named only as Roman E., called the police and shared details of the websites her son used to find partners, according to the killer's arrest. Leading to the killer's arrest. A source said nothing like this has happened to Momonosk in 20 years. The accused from a wealthy Arctic family faces up to 15 years in prison if he's found guilty. 15 years in prison if found guilty for murder?
He's from a wealthy family.
Well, you know, the Soviet...
He doesn't even need someone here from Houston to fly up and help him.
The Soviet Union collapsed. You know, they don't keep them in prison until 10 years after they're dead.
But they'll first face a psychiatric examination to see if he's fit to stand trial. Umanovsk is the largest city in the world above the Arctic Circle with a population of 300,000. During the long winter, temperatures regularly drop to minus 14 degrees centigrade.
Ah!
Oh, well.
This is the latest number of cannibal cases in Russia. In May, an unemployed man killed his drinking partner and butchered his body in a Moscow flat. In St. Petersburg, 2009, two cannibals killed a 16-year-old girl, cut her up, and ate her body parts. The young man explained at the time...
There's a toenail in the sausage.
The young man explained at the trial they were very hungry and they were found guilty of murder and sentenced to 18 to 19 years.
Secrets in the sauce.
Now, the joke part of why I put this last is because, you know, they don't say what gay website he used to pick this guy that he made sausages and meatballs
out of. So we're thinking Grindr?
I'm thinking Grindr.
Oh, that's so bad.
Grinder, grinder.
What is sausage called in Russia?
See, I made the prediction that if we were in our normal positions, Wes right now would have his head on there going...
Oh, Wes is too busy giving me a dirty look or something.
He's wishing the pain medicine would really kick in about now.
Really, and you're right. If I had been sitting over there, I would have been doing that, yes.
His head.
Oh, here we go. Jimmy got up, so here we go.
He
it just seemed natural to me that I would have to say it was Grindr.
Come on.
So we've got some time
sausage
here.
Man. Horrid, 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 horrid man.
Thank you.
so he takes pride in
bats
that.
And balls. Is that what he did?
So, he took
bangers
pride.
And mash?
Bangers and mash.
Why?
Talk about food that sticks to your ribs.
Hey, I've always said, you know, like, you know, I've always said in the past how much I admire, like, Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, he had friends over for dinner and they stayed the night.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Several
did it, it. Well, he went out for Asian and, that's what got him in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, then the Asian just had to take out himself.
It's more like the Asian tried to take out himself. And,
oh, hold on, Jimmy. All these are...
Oh, that's nice.
You wouldn't think... You would think the police would think it a little odd. Make a guy going down the street covered in blood. No.
No.
But no.
Well, he supposedly looked older, and Jeffrey told him that it was my lover when they just had a little fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I hate it when Dinger argues with me.
That just goes to show that some police forces need a higher.
See what you started? See what you started in there? You should be ashamed of yourself. Well, I know you're not.
Further.
Actually, your life should have been Dr. Frankenstein meet your monster.
When has
talk about
anybody
that didn't agree with you?
When has anybody on the mics during this segment exhibit even an ounce of shame about anything that has come out of their mouth?
I was talking about Chris, not any of you. I know better about you four in there.
He's on a mic too. He just doesn't happen to be on this side of the wall.
Yeah, but I work with him every week.
Yeah. You work with us every week too.
Not all of you.
It works against us.
Yeah.
I mean,
the paperwork I need to do here.
You know, where are these people?
Where do we find? Yeah,
do we find these humans?
I'm not sure where I'm finding. You know, I wonder about the fact of where I'm finding these stories. And why my computer has not exploded.
I find it difficult. Now, I realize that news traveled differently, you know, somewhat slower 100 years ago. Hell, 20 years ago. But, you know, I wonder if people were this, besides Lizzie Borden, I mean, I wonder if there were this many psychos 100 years ago and Looney Tunes 100 years ago.
Really.
It's just, you know.
I can say one thing about this guy. He knows how to pick his friends.
Yeah.
We control half of them now.
Yeah, to pieces.
And we haven't sort killed like Jose's microphone yet.
Yeah, sort of like picking crops.
He's on number two. Number two going off. Number two going off.
He picks his friends all right, like crawfish. It's like,
you like
there was no comment of him sucking the head.
Just one.
And because he was anti-gay, he didn't pinch the tail first.
Oh my God. See, you set Chris up. He knocks him down. There it is, right there.
Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pasale.
Thank God.
Special.
Thank the
gods. You know, we
good night, kids.
Yeah, Mike's already in the house.
What else is on the program here on KPFT? Both regular programming and our high definition programming over at kpft.org. Close all these windows out on this. We would like to thank everyone for being a part of our first 24 years here on the radio.
Woohoo! Happy birthday to us.
We look forward to more. And we're glad that you've spent some time with us here tonight. We'll be back next week, hopefully, as long as Ernesto doesn't listen to the tape. we'll really be glad if you would join us with that as we start to get ready. I guess we need to start planning stuff for next year for our 25th anniversary.
Party!
Start planning now so maybe people will show.
Yeah.
And make sure Jimmy's not running off frolicking in the woods.
We'll do it early enough.
all the freaks, geeks, and uniques who have ever been a part of the show and are still breathing air should show up next year.
Oh, yeah. My God.
With a few notable exceptions.
Come on. Do you know how much we'd be hitting that dump button if we've got Miss Scott Lewis and Peter back in here? And, Lord.
Because, you know, that one couldn't get 17 seconds into a show without breaking FCC codes.
I would say, you know, if Miss Lewis did a better job of drag, I would have thought that maybe that was came in and did Hot and Bothered, but no. Okay, come on.
Not banned.
It's bad enough when I can't even close the damn windows.
To air is human. To really frell it up, get a computer.
So, if you want to find out what's going on here with After Hours, you can go to facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT. Once again, we've got the video from Southern Decadence. I had another video that nobody commented on. I believe this was a cartoon documentary of Bubbles and how he came up with his famous skit.
Yeah, I saw that. Was very disturbing.
I'm yes, it afraid. Is. You'll need to watch that over on facebook.com/AfterHoursKPFT. You can also send us an email at afterhours, afterhours at kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
Love, T-T, L-O-V-E-T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
Great, so I finally shut down everything on there.
Good job.
We love hearing from you. Upcoming events, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And those are the ways you can get in contact with us. It's not the picture, right? Thank y'all for being a part of this as we start year 24.
Hmm? He's got the pitch right now.
You don't want to see what he had to squeeze to get it.
And it wasn't that squeeze box sitting behind me either.
I would say it was tight shorts, but he's not wearing them. Once again, this is After Hours on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, 90.3 in the Livingston area. Always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can check out kpft.org. You find out your programming coming up the rest of the day and what's on our high-definition stations 1, 2, and 3. If Mozilla will ever come up, then we can make sure everything's ready for the next guys, but this computer is being real pain in the ass. All right, I'm going to give it to y'all a little bit early. As I could possibly, it will come up a minute or so early because we're going to do the PSAs. Back next week. See you all then.
Across Cambodia, vaccines are reaching more children in more places than ever before. Globally, UNICEF and our partners save the lives of over 2.5 million children every year. Immunization is vital to help children survive and thrive in Cambodia and around the world. For every child, advance humanity.
Medulloblastoma, hyperdiploidy, posterior mediastinum, Shimada classification. When an oncologist talks to you about childhood cancer, it could sound like a foreign language. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.